fans, you played every snap. You showed your orange. But you're just getting started, because it's time for the best post-game fan show in college football. It's time for the Garza Law Firm 5th Quarter Fan Reaction. The place where the Big Orange Universe from all around the world gathers to talk about today's game. Unfiltered. Uncensored. Unapologetic. And did we mention commercial free? A show of you, by you, and yep, for you.
Yes! Yes!
The most unique fan experience in sports. And it happens right now. Get online at 865-200-5402. That's 865-200-5402. Yep. Or you can hit us up on Twitter at Tony Basilio. Now, here's your host of the Garza Law Firm 5th Quarter Fan Reaction. The man who's been keeping it real for the Vol fans for a quarter century. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tony Basilio.
TB, that be me. TB, that be me. Welcome you to another edition on your, ladies and gentlemen, Garza Law 5th Quarter Fan Reaction, the best, the only, definitive post-game show in the history of sports itself. And that is not an overstatement, because how else do you explain that Tony Robinson right now, Tony Robinson as we speak right now, how else, and I want somebody to explain this to me, is asleep in the annex to the Ray Mears studio as a lead up to this game. The playmaker himself is fast asleep. I mean, are you kidding me? It's unbelievably outstanding to welcome you to another edition of your Garza Law 5th Quarter Fan Reaction, where the Vols have just come up the museum, Art Museum steps. And they put their hands in the air, and both fists are out, pumping their fist into the sky. Yes, it's a victory. It is a victory. Tony Robinson still hasn't woken up. I'm screaming at the top of my lungs. Wow. What a win. What a win. Tony Robinson's so damn cool that I'm going to let him sleep. Because, Bino, he's going to be out tonight with the VFLs. And some things are more important than commiserating with us on a Saturday night. Because, Bino, offensively tonight, we were kind of a snoozer. I'm not going to lie, but I'm really proud of the resourcefulness of Tennessee because they showed a lot. As I bring in my partner, lo these many years, the great Bino Jeff Henderson, and then we'll get to some phone calls. Bino, no Evan Berry tonight. He's taken out early after the great kick return to begin the game. Jared Garantano, people can say whatever they want to say about Garantano. He is one tough hombre. Tonight he proved it once again that he's a tough guy. Tonight, people can rip Butch Jones all they want, but you've got that guy on scholarship in McBride, and you play him. I've got no problem with when they played him. I got no problem with when they played him. Now, we've just got an unofficial report from Tennessee that the goalposts are currently coming down in Neyland Stadium after the big win tonight over Southern. No Callaway tonight after he goes out. Coleman Thomas in their offensive line all over the place. Sean Schamberger, after a pretty good start last week, unavailable tonight. Tennessee still overcomes. And they overcome, not only do they overcome, but they overcome in front of a pretty large crowd, considering what they were expecting. And Bino, I bring you in now without further ado. How you doing, my man?
Tony Gray, I'm good. Good tonight. First time we've had an opportunity to talk about a win since September 23rd.
How nice is that, to just absolutely sit here and talk about a win?
It beats the heck out of what we've been doing, Tony. I'll say that.
You better believe it.
You know, tonight, I guess you look at the game and say that our defense played pretty well, and Will McBride is more skilled than I was led to believe that he is. And like you, I don't have any problem with them playing him. That's what they had to do.
Yep.
The Dormady leaves in midseason to get shoulder surgery, and Sherron Jones is gone. The only problem I had was that you put JG back in the game at all. Garantano never should have gone back in the game.
Nope.
Once you put McBride in there, it was obvious that Garantano couldn't go. He never should have gone back in the game.
Now, a couple things to point out. Our opponent tonight was absolutely horrendous. They can't play. That's a football team that got trucked by UAB for a reason. And so that needs to be said. Still, they come up with 279 total yards. Tennessee, only 210 total yards of offense in the football game. And the truth is, right now, you have to be able to take wins where you can get them. Let's go to the phones. We'll get as many people in here as humanly possible. I'd like to hear from you tonight at 865-200-5402. The big difference in tonight's game, Tennessee turning two takeaways into two quick touchdowns, and that basically was the difference in the game. And it's nice to see JFK back running like a madman for our volunteers. To the phones we go, 865-200-5402. And we'll get our first call in on the Garza Law 5th Quarter Fan Reaction, a place where we give you an opportunity to talk about it on a day that we had so much to be thankful for in Rocky Top. Saw so many great people from all over the region, all over the state. And let's go back to our phones and we'll get our first call in. Hello and welcome in.
Hey guys, how y'all doing?
Hey, welcome in. Great to talk to you.
Boy, I'll tell you what, I cannot remember a more exciting Tennessee football game.
Yeah.
Than to watch us roll out there and get 115 yards in the passing game and 95 yards in the running game.
Yep.
I mean, you talk about an offensive juggernaut.
Yep.
We are.
Oh, we're a juggernaut.
Yeah, I don't think it was a thing of beauty at all, Jinker.
We're an offensive juggernaut, not N-A-U-T, but jugger, N-O-T.
Guys, how much worse can this thing get? I mean, that looked like Carson Newman when we were playing out there.
Well, look, you had a guy out there at right tackle who hadn't played that position since his high school days, and he struggled. I mean, let's be honest about it. He struggled. I thought Trey Smith looks to me like you could put him anywhere you want on that line and he'll be your best lineman. It's crazy how great he is.
Yeah.
Tennessee also went with a two tight end formation, something they should have done for Garantano a long time ago. And McBride tonight, I think he looks like he's got some ability. So I'm going to build on the positives here, and it was good to see JFK back running with the football.
But you know what, guys? It was so bad. I mean, that game was so boring. I didn't even watch most of it.
Tony fell asleep. I'm not kidding you. Tony is currently... Now, you guys think I'm kidding.
That's Smokey Robinson, isn't it?
T-Rob, right now, as we speak, is asleep on my couch. And here's the reason I'm going to let him sleep. Because when he comes to, he's going to break it down like never before. And he really likes what he saw out of McBride. I'm going to have him break that down for us a little later on tonight.
I'll tell you what, guys. You know who I'm getting behind? And this is this Miami team. I'm sitting here watching them beat Virginia Tech 28-10 right now.
Yep.
And I'm happy for Mark Richt.
Yep.
And you know what? I'm happy for Georgia. But it looks like that was a marriage that parted and both of them came out on their feet.
Agreed. Agreed.
And
there's a way to do it. There's a right way to do it. They didn't hold on to him too long. and they did what they did. And thank you. Good talking to you. And I'll say I echo his sentiments about Miami. You know what Miami proves? It proves what Tennessee could have proved in 2015, which is if you can just get one close win, you give yourself a chance to have a special season. Tennessee this year did that with Georgia Tech, but we just weren't good enough to sustain it. And that's why we lost to that dreadful Florida team. And Bino, let it be said that when you get beat 45-16 in a game that's 42-9 at one point at Missouri, you are a damn dreadful football team. And Florida is, was, and always will be in 2017 a piece of garbage football team that we lost to.
And they've done something, Tony, that this Tennessee team has not done, and that's quit.
That's no quit. Question. No question. Let's go to the phones. We'll get as many people in here as humanly possible. 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. If you want to get in with us on this victorious Tennessee Saturday night, we'd love to hear from you. We'll get the great Tony Robinson in here without further ado. We've got all kinds of special guests coming up as well tonight, and we're wide open for you on the phone lines tonight as Tennessee wins against Southern Miss, and I don't think our fan base, Bino, has any idea how to respond. And look, the empty kneeling thing, I'm not going to call it a fail, but here's the thing, you empty kneeling folks. Here's the thing you got to understand. Tennessee football means more to people than who's coaching. It just does. And Tennessee football on a beautiful, warm November day on homecoming just means more than who's coaching. You can say our fan base is stupid. You can say whatever the hell you want to say. But people love their football here. I will make no apologies for that. I was over there today. I will make no apologies for the fact that Tim Kilkenis, as part of that Fish Pantry tailgate, got about 50 tickets in my hands, and in half a day, I got them in the hands of 50 underprivileged kids that had a chance to go into that football game tonight. I'm not apologizing to that for anybody. I'm not. I'm sorry. I'm not apologizing for that. Sorry. Wrong cowboy. Wrong cowboy. Sorry. Not apologizing for that. 50 kids got a chance to go to a game that they otherwise would not have had a chance to go to. So go to hell. If you don't like it, go to hell. Now, I'm not going to say that the empty kneeling thing was a fail. I'm not going to say that. I remained all week, I'm neutral on that deal. But let me tell you something that you learned. You can't crush a parade, and you can't beat a great weather day in November. I think a lot of people today woke up. Now, Bino, what Bino told you yesterday was word up reality, which is this. Many people were expecting today in Neyland Stadium 50,000 people. How do we know? We received a little inter-office memo. No names will be used here. And they told those concessionaires to expect a crowd of 50,000. Well, they got way on the other side, probably about 70,000, I'd say, in Neyland Stadium tonight. Which I'm going to tell you something. All things considered, best fan base in America. Did you see the crowd today at Florida State? You know who's had more to cheer for in the last 10 years than us? Florida State. Their crowd was a shit show. It looked like there was about 35,000 people in that place. Don't tell me about the passion of this place. Don't tell me about the passion of this place. Don't tell me. These people deserve way more than they're getting. Period. End of sentence. To the phones we go. 865-200-5402. And I'm not apologizing. You guys want to rip me on Twitter? Rip me on Twitter. But we got several kids into that game today. And fed a bunch of people. Let's go to the phones. Bino, the crowd tonight, is it not incredible, the crowd here? It's incredible.
It is, Tony. This is as fine a fan base as there is in America, and they're the most underserved fan base in America. And I told you that had I kept my Southern Miss ticket, I would not have been there tonight. If there's not an announcement on Bush Jones, I won't be there at LSU, which is the only ticket I've got left. But I've never once told anybody if they wanted to go to the football game that they shouldn't go.
Back to the phones we go. You're exactly right. Yep.
The way I feel.
Well, these things, the bottom line is this. These things take care of themselves. At least they should. If you have an administration that cares.
In most places, they do, Tom.
And so the Vols win 24-10. It's victory number four. Tennessee now two victories away from bowl eligibility. Butch Jones advances in his playoff. He's fighting for his playoff life next week at Missouri, who had eight tackles for loss today, who swallowed Florida's offense. And if you think our offense was bad today, you should have seen Florida play offensive football. I mean, that's the worst loss for Florida to an unranked opponent in 40 seasons of football. Where have you gone? Douglas Adair, tall guy Dickey. Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome on your Garza Law fifth quarter fan reaction.
Hey, Tony, Mark here.
Hey, Marky, welcome in.
How you doing, buddy? Yeah, the first thing, the good to the game, the defense I thought played outstanding against, let's be honest, a less than good Southern Miss team, but I think defense would be very admirable. We're going to have to find some offense between now and next Saturday, Missouri, or we can get our doors blown off. But as far as the game tonight, I mean, they showed up defensively, did a good job.
Yep.
They're opportunistic. Offensively, it was really a disaster. I watched that Oklahoma State game.
Yes.
And I mean, there's athletes. I mean, that's the kind of thing people get to aspire to be. But, you know, Sergeant, as they say, Butch Jones Carter.
Yes.
Did what he could do tonight with what he had.
That's right.
I give him credit for that. But,
yep.
You know, I mean, I don't know what else to say about it. It's one of those games that it's a nice win. It keeps their bowl hopes alive.
Yep.
But between now and next Saturday, this Missouri team could score points. And they score them by the pound. And so we can't be throwing for, what, 115 yards? What were we, 10 for 20 for 115 yards?
We had 70 yards in the second half of offense.
Yeah, we had 210 for the game.
Yeah,
ain't going to work. Way more yards. We've got to find a way to get some offense. I mean, I just don't know where it's going to come from.
Hey, thank God. Hey, by the way, thank God for Southern Miss tonight and their 116 yards of penalties and their undisciplined play. I mean, that was a stupid football game they played, was it not?
Yeah. By the way, that's a perfect place for Sergeant Butch Jones Carter to.
It is.
Coach, that's his level, right? Southern
no
Miss
question.
That's where he should be.
No question.
I watch Gundy. And by the way, I'm going. I don't know if he'll. I love the way. I know they lost today.
Yes.
But a guy like Mike Gundy, you get your claws into something like that. I mean, this guy can coach and coach big time athletes and big time teams. Yeah, you know. So I was happy with that performance. I watched Jeff Brom. I watched all of, you know, Brom and all those guys, Lane Kiffin last night, and you know, there's some good choices out there. And I still think Jones is gone. I don't think he can. I don't know if tonight helped him at all. I don't know what that did for him. But
no, tonight what it was is we had a day to enjoy, and I appreciate your phone call. We had a day to enjoy. We had a great time. It's nice to get a win. It's nice to get back in the win column. I throw none of them back. My partner all these years, Bino, has taught me that. I throw none of them. Apologize for no wins. I celebrate the wins. I continue to cry over the losses, but that game had nothing to do with Butch. If you're still adjudicating Butch Jones and his tenure here and whether or not he's not here. But then again, you are dealing with the oil man, and who the hell knows. Let's go back to our phones and get our next call in, 865-200-5402. Hey, Bino, one note about Missouri. You realize they ran the ball 46 times today for 226 yards against Florida? Can you believe that, Bean Star?
No, you've got to give Barry Odom some credit. His thing looked like the biggest train wreck in the league.
Yep.
And now they're on a three-game winning streak. So he certainly has, he's righted the ship there. And isn't it a dang shame? Isn't it a shame that the East race is over in the first Saturday in November?
It is
pathetic.
It's a damn disgrace. It's a damn embarrassment is what it is. And look, that Georgia team is probably going to win the East anyway. But, I mean, damn, man. They beat their two chief rivals in the East. Hell, South Carolina played them tougher than anybody. That tells you everything you need to know. Let's go back to the phones. 865-200-5402. Bino, we've gotten some comments here on Twitter and also on the Periscope and Facebook Live. Boy, our offensive line tonight was an absolute sieve. They're going to get somebody hurt.
Yeah, Tony, it's amazing that it's gotten to this point. Both for and it's, you know, it's about injury. It's about failure to develop. It's about failure to evaluate. It's you know, we've come full circle with Butch Jones. Basically, he's going to leave a team that was very similar to what he inherited.
Well, that's very true. He really is. He's gonna. I don't know about that. I don't know. I think the jury's still out on Garantano if he's coached. Because he has one thing that I like about him that I didn't think he had, because he didn't project this with his image. And I'm not trying to be judgmental, but I'm just speaking the truth here, at least as I see it. He's a tough guy, Bino. There are not many athletes that would have gone back into that game tonight knowing what he knew about how his line was performing. And I mean, he hustled back into that game.
Yeah, I'm not questioning his toughness at all.
Yep.
I'm talking more about where Butch Jones found this thing with an issue on the offensive line. He found this thing battling to try to be bowl eligible.
Yep.
And you can spin it any way you want to. When he leaves, it's going to be the same thing that he found.
Back to the phones we go, 865-200-5402. Bino enjoying the win tonight, as you can hear, on a day where Kentucky defeats Ole Miss. Oh, no, they didn't. Oh, no, they didn't either. On a day where John Chavis continues to earn his money at Texas A&M. Oh, no, he didn't. Oh, no, he did not. But a day where Alabama continues to roll. I'm going to tell you something. That LSU team that's coming in here in a couple weeks, brother, they Natrone means business right now. They're playing a lot better football. Let's go back to our phones on your Garza Law fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello and welcome in.
Hey, Tony, it's Ricky Raccoon over here in Clinton, Tennessee.
Hey, the Raccoon. Welcome in, brother.
Hey, man, what's going on?
I had a school of y'all on my porch about 3 weeks back. Went out there with a shotgun and took care of business.
You better aim true.
You better believe.
Hey, man, I know we're trying to be positive on this thing here tonight, but I just got to tell you something just burned me up in that first half there. And I think that Butch's final parting shot was sticking a big middle finger at all us Vols fans whenever he torched at Boy McBride's eligibility there on them three plates. Now, I know he played him there in the second half, but I think he was just trying to cover up for it because I just don't think that he knew what he was doing. And he got himself all washbuckled there in the first half like he normally does, and he doesn't make good decisions.
You know, I'm going to have to vehemently disagree with you, and here's why. I just know from having an ankle sprain myself that when after the adrenaline dies down and you get a chance, I knew after I came on Periscope and predicted that McBride would be in that game, and not because of a cover-up, but because Garantano couldn't move. If you saw the final play of the first half, Raccoon, I know what it's like in Raccoon World, but when a man goes to kneel down and he falls down and falls back like that man did, that tells me everything I need to know about what's going on with Garantano, and it was just not happening for him. It was not.
Well, they put him back in the game. I mean, I guess they could have at least had a little time to triage him there and just to see what was going on. And like him, you know, sportscaster talked about, run that wildcat or something. I don't know.
You know what, though, man? I understand what everybody's saying, and I don't want this to be taken wrong. I redshirt guys that are top-flight prospects down the road. I'm not trying to cast aspersions on McBride, but he's a scholarship player. He's the next guy up. Why should he be any different than anybody else on that roster in terms of the next guy up, especially considering Tennessee's trying to make a bowl. There are seniors on that team they owe that to. And he's got to play. I mean, Garantano obviously was hurt. And as Bino said, and I will agree with you on this, they had no business letting him come back into that game because he couldn't move. And, I'm not a big fan of the other discount double check who's up there in the booth, Chris Burke's vocal doppelganger. Do you ever notice how that guy sounds just like Chris Burke, the guy that does the games, the 7:30?
Yeah, is it Jordan Rogers?
Jordan Rogers sounds just like my boy Chris Burke.
He does sound a lot like Chris.
But here's the deal. That kid's on scholarship. That kid's getting a full ride. People say
it turned out to be the right thing to do.
Yes.
It was initially handled wrong. If they thought Garantano was well enough to go back in the game, they shouldn't have sent McBride in there. They should have run the third down play out of a Wildcat and punted, and then seen it. But it turned out that he couldn't go. They never should have put him back in the game after that.
Yeah, because Chris Doring went crazy at halftime, and so I'm going to disagree with that. But go ahead, guys. Go ahead. I'm sorry, caller.
No, I was just agreeing with Bino. Now, to the kid's defense, boy, that kid did show some promise, and he did step right up. I thought that it was a hasty decision by virtue of them putting Garantano back in that ball game, and I don't think they thought the thing through, and I think it's just emblematic of how this whole regime just consistently cannot make these white-hot decisions on the fly. They just seem to me, and I'm just a little simple country boy here, that they make rash decisions and they don't think them through right quick.
Well, what's interesting about that, though, is that somebody in the media, because I was laughing with this John Adams on the set of our In the Pocket TV show, which airs on Wednesday nights, and we were over there Wednesday, and John said, did you happen to catch Butch Jones's answer to what happens if Garantano's helmet pops off? And Jones just said, well, McBride's going to play. You're going to burn his red shirt over a helmet popping off? Now, obviously, that wasn't what happened tonight. But that's what Butch Jones said. I mean, and for once in his life, Butch Jones was telling the truth. Now, I agree with you. There can't be a worse game manager in all of football than Butch Jones. There just can't be. And now that he's run off Antoine Davis, Butch Jones is officially the biggest loser on our campus. And I appreciate your call. Thank you, my friend. Good talking to you. Thank you. 865-200-5402. Let's get our next call in on your Garza Law fifth quarter fan reaction. Bino the Great is with me. Tony Robinson is resting up because there are a ton of VFLs in town, and they're going to be at it tonight, enjoying each other's company. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome in. Okay, this feller doesn't realize that's him. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome on the Garza Law fifth quarter fan reaction.
Hey, guys, it's Smitty.
Hey, Smitty, welcome in, buddy.
Hey, you realize that the Southern Miss team got beat 30-12 by UAB, and UAB hasn't had a team for 2 years?
Yeah, we talked about that. And Southern Miss, in a word, is a dreadful football team. That UMass team that we saw in here in Neyland Stadium would beat that team that I saw today.
They'd beat the hell out of them.
Yes, they would smash their face in and make them like it.
I mean, you got 210 total yards of offense. I mean, you don't really see much improvement.
Nope.
And predictable play calling as it is.
I mean,
I don't care if you got Will McBride out there, you're playing Southern Miss, and you have the ball, or you have the defense is making the stops you need to make. You got nothing to lose. But we're talking about a guy that I have come to the conclusion just isn't very smart. So, that's all I got to say, man.
You talking about Bocce Boy?
Yeah, I mean, you could go out there and just throw him around.
Yeah.
And see what he's got, and if he can't do anything for you, that's fine. You at least give him some playing time. Just quit running the same bogus offense. Quit running John Kelly and a bunch of the offensive linemen's asses every play. Try to run the normal offense, which isn't a great offense, but at least give him an opportunity to go show himself and to try to score some points and not make it look like you just slid by, you know, like Arkansas did against Coastal Carolina. I mean, you know, go do something. You have nothing to lose. You know, you're 1 foot out the door, probably 2 feet out the door now, and you just go do it. But like I said, the guy is not smart. So I'll see you, fellas.
Thank you. Bino, here's my thing about the way to use a quarterback. And Tony was talking about this before he fell asleep. And he is asleep, Bino.
Why? Not doubting it, Tony.
No, I mean, he's snoring. Like, he is stone cold asleep. Like, I tried to wake him up before coming in here, and Laura was like, because he was really gave his all today down there at that Fish Hospitality Pantry tailgate. Tony was meeting and greeting and taking pictures and just being a great sport. Tony said, why, when you had McBride in the game, why are you running those stupid read options when you're down to your last quarterback? Now, that, sports fans, is what I call a great point. He said, unless Butch Jones is really interested in getting fired. And by the way, superstar Alex is sick as a dog tonight, so he stayed away. Jerry Colquitt and FEMA Quadrant 10 will be with us a little while on, little while later. Why are we using our quarterback on those RPOs tonight, Bino? Why won't they protect their last quarterback?
I was surprised that they did that as well, Tony. And really, I guess after the first series that he ran, they did. And that's what we're going to see going forward if Jarrett Garantano is too hurt to play from this point, and you're basically down to one quarterback.
Yep.
And if you take that out of Butch Jones' offense, there's nothing left.
Well, and I'm going to say, I'll tell you what I liked about McBride, what I saw tonight, is here's a guy that had no seat time at all. And one of those, I don't want to say Tom Hart used this term, because Tom's better than this. One of those guys, and Tom's listening to us right now, one of those guys used the terminology mental reps. That's embarrassing. For any seasoned broadcaster to use the term mental reps is embarrassing. Okay? Please lose that from your vernacular. Thank you very little. Let's go back to the phones. 86-TIME-200-5402. 865-200-5402. Mental reps, Bino. We have this new thing now where we stand behind the quarterback. We stand behind the quarterback. I saw a thing today on Penn State. Penn State has soft lighting throughout their complex because it helps you in the heat of the moment. What kind of bullshit is that? I mean, who listens to that? They have soft lighting because it helps you be calm in the moment. And we've got mental reps now. We've got guys standing behind quarterbacks. These newfound trillionaire coaches have to reinvent stuff that's just bullshit. And I'm not buying it. I don't buy that. Because here's the deal. You either play in a game or you don't play in a game. And if you don't play in a game and you're not playing in practice, you're not getting a rep. There's no such thing as a mental rep. Only a mental midget can think there's such a thing as a mental rep. A mental rep. I play guitar and I play mandolin. I can sit there all day long and close my eyes and think about playing. But if I'm not playing, brother or sister, I'm not playing. Let's go back to the phones. 865-200. 5402. Mental.
There is, however, Tony, a thing as a mental wreck, and that's pretty much where all of us are.
There's no doubt. 865-200-5402. Let's get our next call in again. 865-200-5402. The calls are a little thin tonight. When you win, people are, what's the word? They wanted Butchie off the edge of that cliff, Bino. They wanted him shoved off that cliff tonight.
And that's where they put us, Tony.
Back to the phones we go. I mean, there are people tonight that are mad. Hello? That so many people showed up. Let's get our next caller in. Hello and welcome.
Hello.
Hey, welcome in.
Hey, I've never called before, but I've been a big Vol fan for over 50 years.
Uh-huh.
Had season tickets for almost 40, And I finally saw the writing on the wall with Butch last year, and I gave my tickets up. But I still am behind that team, but I want Butch Jones gone.
Did you miss it not being there today? And do you miss it?
Oh, yes, I miss it.
Yeah.
There's been many a time, I mean, it's almost you live and die by
the
vault.
That's right.
The only time I'd only miss maybe one game in all those years, and it was because I was too sick to even hear it on the radio.
God bless you. Can I share something with you? I was down there today, and I'm just going to share something with you, because I think you'll appreciate this. So, good friend of mine, the great Marcos Garza, who sponsors this show, he had his little daughter, who's 5 years old, with him, and she was up on his shoulders tonight. And we went down and watched the band march. And I periscoped that for people to see earlier tonight. And I'm gonna share something with you. When that band walked by, I thought about all the years I've been here and all the people that were at that tailgate today and all the touching stuff that had happened and how great this thing is we call UT Sports. And I got kind of teary-eyed from seeing the band today. And that is where, ma'am, if I can say to you, that's where they've left the focus. They've made me put the focus on that. But I don't blame you one bit for not going. Not one bit.
Well, the band can always use new uniforms.
That's right. That's right.
Thanks. My mama used to keep their uniforms tacked together, and she said it was pitiful.
Wow. Well, I appreciate that. Hey, thank you for the call. So I'm going to get your vote one more time on Butch Jones. Do you want to keep him, or would you like to throw him overboard?
I'd like to throw him overboard.
How about like tonight? You want to get rid of him tonight, even after we run?
I still do.
Beautiful. Let's fire him after a win. Let's throw everybody for a curveball. Thank you. Have a great
night. Can you elaborate on what happened to Anton Davis?
Yeah, I'd be glad to. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good talking to you. Anton Davis, basically, we were reporting on this for several weeks. He and Butch Jones got sideways with each other. Butch Jones is a very vindictive, very jealous person. And Anton Davis got on the wrong side of Butch Jones, and Butch Jones just basically, well, he basically made Anton Davis' life miserable. Anton Davis got the word out in a mayday sort of way through some people. The media, well, at least in my corner of things, Swain and Jason Swain's corner of things, we tried to talk about it because we're not controlled. We're not state-run. I believe I'm responsible to you and I'm responsible to this community. So the hope was that John Curry would go to Anton Davis, sit down with him and say, how can I help you? How can we intervene here? You are valued. What you do here is valuable. It's a value. None of that happened. I'm starting to really wonder about this Curry guy. I'm starting to really wonder about him. Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402. 865-200-5402. And people thinking that Anton Davis is coming back after the next coach is hired. No, I don't think that's happening. I'm not saying that won't happen. Right now, I'm not saying that's going to happen. Let's go back to the phones. 865-200-5402. John Curry let you know all he cares about with that tone-deaf statement, that little letter that he sent out to the contributors yesterday. Bino, have you seen that?
No, Tony, I've quit reading his communications.
It is the most asinine, silly, pandering, talking about General Nealon and all this. Not John, people care about one thing. They're in pain, and you're the leader, and you don't even mention that in your letter. You don't even address that. Don't send a letter. And don't talk about this project, this building. John, take a poll and ask people what they care more about. having a new Neyland Stadium with all the bells and whistles so you can brag to all your AD buddies, or having a football team that we can be proud of. And furthermore, while we're on the subject, John, if you keep this shit up, you will be doing a new renovation. When you guys are done, we'll be back seeing the hill again, and we're going to see clear to the river, because there are going to be bleachers down there. Am I lying, Bino?
No, you're not, Tony.
Is the Ergen stuff bullshit? Yes. In a word, whoever came up with that, kudos to you. Kudos. I will write about that this week, the Charlie Ergen stuff. But I don't blame our fans for doing this. Bino, we've had this conversation. I don't blame anybody for living in John Gruden Hopium. I don't blame anybody for that. And I don't blame anybody for concocting this whole fantasy about Charlie Ergen, because people want help. I get it. But it's fantasy. The stuff about Charlie Ergen that I read last night online from whoever that guy was, no offense to you, sir, that's fantasy. It's good. It's good. You're a good writer. And it's fun. You ought to go into, like, fiction. No offense. Let's go to the phones. 865-200-5402. Hello and welcome in to our next caller.
Yeah, is it me?
Yeah, welcome in.
Hey, this is Bob Cowboy. I met you down there.
Hey, my man, Cowboy. Yeah, it was great meeting you, brother.
Yeah, good meeting you, too. Yeah, I was. You was talking about Curry. Oh, by the way, I did go by the fish pantry there, by your tailgate.
Yes.
It looked like everybody's having a good time. I was looking for Vino, but looking for people maybe I kind of knew and picked out. But, it looked like everybody had a great time. So.
Yep.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, you got the mic. Go ahead, man.
I was down around gate 21. Pretty good time before the game started. And Curry come walking by. Well, I should say strolling by. And had his suit on and, just kind of coming through the crowd. I guess coming out of lot 9 there, maybe. But some guys were next to me. I really, it was all I could do not to yell out Fire Butch Jones and be a total redneck. But some guys next to me, a guy behind me kind of did, or he said he did. And so I was just kind of talking to him. And it's amazing to me, and Tony, I appreciate everything you do, appreciate you getting the word out and you standing up and giving the common fan a voice. But it's amazing to me how as I talk to people and just kind of throw out there that who's really in control of this whole situation, this whole mess, which we all know is Haslam, how people are really becoming to know that's true.
I know. Isn't it great? Isn't it great?
It's great.
It's great.
The more that we can get it out there. And, I was talking to somebody who has season tickets for a long time, and they gave me – I got their tickets today. They knew that it was all about that. They knew that the boosters needed to come together. It's not – so even though we have state-ran media, even though we have the bless his heart, Jimmy Himes and all them, and they, nothing against them, but even though they do what they have to do, the truth is still coming out, and I think it's a wonderful thing.
Hey, and I'll give Jimmy Himes a lot of credit. He's cultivated a terrific relationship with Mr. Haslam, the older gentleman, that is, and good for him. That's a trusted source of his, so you're not going to hear him say the very honest things that I've said, no offense, which is that this is a Haslam production. It is a Bill Todman, Jim Haslam production, Tennessee Athletics, and they've done a lot of great things. They're awful, awful, awful. By the way, the chancellor that they've placed in there went against them, which leads me to believe, and this is what feeds the fantasy that people have about Charlie Ergen, and I'm going to write about this week. I understand why everybody wants to be bailed out because they feel like they're being held hostage. But I will tell you that I am feeling the winds of change. I don't know if it's going to be in this coaching change. I don't like I told somebody today, I don't think it is. I think that's still going to be that family's call. But certainly by the time that Tennessee hires their next coach after this one, 5 years down the line, I think it'll be a totally different deal. But
I have a daughter. It's 19, and I'm 55. I've been going to games there since I was about 13, and it's just in my heart, like you guys talk about. And but you know what? And I was telling people there today at the game. My daughter's 19. It's not in her heart.
Yep.
Like you say, and I tell her constantly. over and over, yeah, we owned Alabama for 10 years, and she's an Alabama fan, but, because they win. She knows Alabama, she knows players, everything. But they're where we were in the 90s. And I can sit there and tell them blue in the face, how good we were.
Right.
But they don't know that. That generation don't know that. And they're not going to do what we do. They're not going to buy those tickets.
No, God, no. No, they don't. Hey, listen, they don't. Kids today, they're not loyal.
No.
They'll turn that channel. If their game's not good, not going their way, they'll go blick. They're not like us. I'll watch that damn thing to the very end. Like Tony Robinson right now. T-Rob, as we speak, is in there sleeping to the very end, brother.
And I'm okay. And I wanted to say real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think Jeker called in and was talking about how boring it was. There was a guy that I got set up in a good seat today, and I was very privileged to. Good Lord bless me, and it was boring. But where was that? They had the Alabama LSU game on. You want to talk about big boy football like we used to have here in Knoxville? That right there is SEC big boy football on both sides of the both teams. You know what? I mean, you watch that LSU Alabama buddy. They are big boy, big time bringing it.
Buddy, those two teams will knock your you-know-what off and make you like it. You got no arguments for me. And those games are fun to watch. The only problem is when you're playing against Alabama and they go up 14-0 on you, Bino, what is the game at that point? Let's see how good my man Bino is.
Over.
Yeah, it's over. And that is no fun. Hey, thanks for the call. And it was great meeting you today, by the way. Thank you for coming up and introducing yourself. 865-200-5402. Bino, we both get it. Why our fans want the fantasy, like the Charlie Bergen fantasy. It makes total sense to me.
I talked to you about escaping my escape, and that's what people are having to do now. I don't know what's real and what's not. I think that the Ergen stuff and the Gruden stuff is probably fantasy. But I don't blame anyone because our escape has become impossible to get anything good out of.
865-200-5402. And boy, I met a lot of great people today. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome to our next caller on the Garza Law Fifth Quarter Fan Reaction.
Hey, Tone.
Hey, welcome in.
Hey, this is Fake Dave Nathan.
Hey, it was great meeting you and your lovely girlfriend today. That was awesome today, dude.
Yes, it was awesome, Tone, and it was great to see Miss B. I never had the fortune of meeting Miss B, but I did get to tell her that she still loves the baked ziti, and it was just incredible.
Oh, what? I walked away when that happened.
You walked away
because I met Dugan. What happened, Fake Dave Nathan, when you told her about the big ziti? Did her eyes light up? Did she look welcome?
Her eyes lit up like she was getting ready to have Gruden hired as the next head coach.
God, like your boy, Tack Air Spike.
My boy Tack Air Spike.
His pupils dilate when he thinks about Gruden.
Tone, I'm telling you, buddy. You're wrong on this Ergen stuff.
Yes, I'm wrong.
Hey, I'm not gonna hold you your feet to the fire yet. I'm gonna wait until the deal's actually done.
Hey, please do that, okay? Yeah, thanks.
But you know that me and a couple other people that I run around with got
yes.
We got our ears to the ground.
You do.
And I'm telling you,
You don't.
I'm telling you that this is not far-fetched, Tony, that Gruden isn't that far away.
Okay, let me explain something to you. There's three things have to happen, okay? First, Tennessee has to offer him the job. That doesn't happen.
That's happened.
Okay, that's good. Second thing is the Haslams have to sign off on them hiring him. That hasn't happened.
That's happened.
And the third thing that has to happen is John Gruden has to accept. And that's never going to happen because John Gruden likes to screw with you guys. And I hate that for you. I really do. I hate that for you. And by the way, I don't think John Gruden would be a better hire than the guy at Mississippi State. If you give me a choice, I'd take the guy from Mississippi State over John Gruden because that's a proven commodity versus a guy who's shown me that he can run his mouth on Monday Night Football. No offense.
Can I take Derek Dooley right now over this dipshit we've got?
Bino!
I don't care, Tone.
Bino! That's the greatest thing that's ever happened on here. Fake Dave Nathan's like, look, you dumbass Tony, listen to me. I'm sick of this.
Tone,
yes.
Listen, I love you, brother.
I love you.
It was great. And brother, it was great meeting the great Miss B. To be able to put up with you for as long as she has, to be able to stand out there in the middle of Circle Park,
yes,
with her, and tell me why we weren't going to get Gruden. I thought that was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life.
Two things: did you really bring up the big ZD to her?
Tone, I swear on my life.
You made my night. Is Tony Robinson really asleep in the room next door? Yes. And the third thing is, do you really believe we're getting John Gruden?
Stone, I'm going to leave you with this, brother. If we don't get Gruden,
yes,
I promise you, I'm going to donate $1,000 to the Fish Hospitality Pantry. You can mark it down. Go ahead and
Well, I'm
going
to call Jim Wright tomorrow and tell him to add $1,000 to his to
God,
what he made this week.
Don't.
Thank you, my friend. Good talking
to you.
Hey,
I love you, brother.
That is such a great call. Because, Dino, you know, what he said essentially was, we have this dipshit over there right now, Barb's dipshit. What did the guy put on Twitter about Butch Jones? That's just the greatest line ever.
Yeah, it was that, the dip bleep coach of the week. And making fun of Barb's chip dip player of the week.
I'm just not in love with the idea of John Gruden. I'm just not. I know you probably think I'm trying to be a contrarian. I want to get a guy that's proven. You need somebody in this job. Dan Mullen, you hire him, he's the second best coach in this league, and he's in the East. And I will take my chances with him against Kirby Smart once you give him a couple years to develop a quarterback. Because he's straight.
Tony, I think people believe now that we need an out-of-the-box hire, and I can understand that. Gruden's not my guy either, but I'd rather have a big name or a big upside as a safe middle guy, and I think Mullen's a safe middle guy.
Wow. I would take Lane Kiffin, too, who we had on the show on Monday, and I thought he was terrific.
And you and I both know that the people who are going to hold sway over this hiring, he's got no chance, but I'll tell you this. If they roll in Blake Anderson or a facsimile of that,
yep,
instead of him,
yes,
they ought to be horsewhipped.
Yes. Back to the phones we go. And look, I realize I'm making people mad by shutting down the Gruden stuff because it's great theater. And I love fantasy. I love it. I love it. I get it. I get why people play fantasy football. I get why people like fiction. I get why people read novels. I get it. To escape, like Bino said, I get it. But it doesn't make it true. It just doesn't make it true. John Gruden likes to mess with people. Uh-oh. That's my man. Look who's come to. Get over here, T. Get over here and put the headphones on now that you've come to. I'm not going to wake you up. No, I would never wake you up. Put the headphones on, T. Put the headphones on. That's my man T. Robinson right there, the great Tony Robinson. T, true or false, you took your little nap.
Oh, that's definitely, definitely. Had to take a breather.
Bino, how exciting was the game when Tony falls asleep in the fourth quarter?
Tony, I don't blame you, buddy. I don't blame you. I was able to stay awake through it, but it was a battle.
Hey, how you doing, Vito? How you
doing? I'm doing good, T-Rob.
Can you catch Tony up on well, I'm going to let the listeners do this. Catch Tony up on what he missed in the latter part of the fourth quarter. He fell asleep with about 10 minutes left. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome to our next caller. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, welcome in.
Hey, first of all, me and my husband listen to you after every UT game, and we watch you, and you are hilarious. The only question I have for you is, why in the hell won't they let Tyler Bird play defense?
Tony, why won't they let Tyler Bird play defense? And how many guys on that football team, when it was all said and done, are out of position with this guy?
I can't tell you why they won't let Tyler Bird play defense, but we have a lot of guys over there that are out of position.
It's crazy.
A lot of guys out of position.
You know, ma'am, tonight Tony looks at me and he goes, before he fell asleep, he goes, "Where's Bitoli?" And I said, "Tony, it's third and long. They're in a nickel." And he looks at me like, "They're still doing that."
They're still doing it, yeah.
And you know, I give Butch Jones a lot of credit because Tyler Bird's one of the few guys who actually has come out and said, "I want to go on that side of the ball," and they put him over there on this side of the ball. And how many targets did Tyler Bird get tonight?
I've seen him throw the ball to him once across the middle,
yes.
And it was behind him. It was behind him.
And then he came back later on, Tone, and he had one catch for 6 yards, which is a really wonderful season that he's putting together here. Yeah, McBride ended up 1 for 8 in the night, yes.
Oh, man. Okay.
Anything else for us tonight? And I love, by the way, how emphatic you are with that point, ma'am. You are correct.
Well, thank you. You all are awesome, and we'll keep watching.
Thank you,
hon. Have a good night.
Thank you. So great to talk to you. Bino, what's the deal there? What's the deal with that whole Tyler Bird thing? And how many guys, if we get a competent coach in here next year, and I think we might get it right, I don't know. I hope we do. I want to believe we're going to. If we do get it right, somebody's on the screen saying Franklin, 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 who's lost 2 in a row now. That might make Franklin gettable. And he has a low buyout. That might make him gettable. I don't know. But, Bino, what do you think in terms of how many guys are out of position over there?
Well, I think the obvious one is Tyler Bird, Tony. And there's, you know, if Evan Berry could have ever stayed healthy, I always thought that he should be used more on the offensive side than on the defensive side. I don't know about, you know, you could certainly make the case that, that Reginald McKenzie should be playing offensive line rather than defensive line. The main thing is I just think that we'll have better deployment. Deployment's been an issue with Butch Jones.
What does that mean, deployment?
That means he doesn't use his pace as well.
Yeah, that's exactly right. See, what we're going to find out, Tony, is there's a lot of guys on this roster that could really play.
Oh, yes, yes, T. There's a lot of guys over there. There's a lot of talent over there, but they're not in the right places. Some of, you know, just like Vino said, you know, I think McKenzie needs to be on the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Bird over there on the defensive end over there at the corner, at one of those corner spots.
Who's be a really nice corner. He's a prototypical corner.
Oh, yes, yes.
He shut people down.
I talked to him. He told me, he looked at me and just smiled. You know, I said, "Why did you get your defense?" He looked at me and smiled and shrugged his shoulders, you know. Like, God, man.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, like, I don't know. But
oh, man.
There's some guys over there that can play different positions and what we, you know, it's like Vito said, Coach Jones is not deploying these guys, right? He's not putting them in, you know, he's not, and to me, he doesn't give himself a chance to win.
That's right.
You know, that's what it looks like.
865-200-5402. Before we, let's get our phones in here now, because I want to hear what you thought. I want to see what you thought of McBride tonight. In his limited action, the limited activity. He only threw 8 passes on the night.
A completed one.
A couple balls, though, probably could have been caught. Well, and they could have helped him a little more. Let's go back to the phones. He had one down the middle there, especially when he came in for Garantano at first. That ball in the middle of the field is a ball that could have been caught. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome to our next caller. Garza Law, fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello.
Hey, I thought McBride did an all right deal.
Yeah, I do. Yep.
I mean, in the position he was put in, I don't know that I've seen too much, learned too much tonight, honestly. I don't know how they do the reps in practice, so I can't really make a judgment on him for how he was put in, what happened.
Yeah.
I know what Butch said about if the helmet came off, he was going to lose his red shirt, which I thought was kind of stupid, until we knew that JG wasn't going to be in there for the rest of the game, like the second half. Then I was okay with it. But when he came back in, I was like, man, they just burnt the kid's red shirt for three plays. And I was like, that's kind of selfish, or not thinking about the kid's future, because you know you're not going to be here next year. You know what I mean? But hey, it is what it is.
Well, that's an interesting dynamic, you know, and you say it is what it is. Here's what's interesting about your point. When you leave a coach over there, as they've left Butch Jones over there, and you give the fans no announcement, you don't tell us anything, you leave it open for him to perhaps play with a kid like that. Now, I said earlier that I think that the criticism of Jones for playing that kid at halftime, the way Doering went about it, I think it was misplaced, because in my mind, I looked at Garantano, and I just saw a guy that wasn't coming back in that game. Not that I can diagnose from afar, but I came on Periscope at halftime, and people that saw it's up there now. People want to go look at it. I said, look, here's what's going to happen in the second half. McBride's going to get back in there because Garantano can't move, and you can't play in this offense when you can't move. Yeah, I mean, he looked slower. No offense to him, but he looked slower than he did when he was healthy. And he couldn't move when he was healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, the reason I called in tonight is I just wanted to put some perspective from a parent that someone has high school players. As we lived in California, and we'd fly out for a game. I mean, it was an expensive deal to come to the Vols game. And we did it, and my kids have done it. Or I've taken my daughter and my son, and we come out. And we moved back to North Carolina. Now it's only a day trip. We're only about 6 hours away. So he's a freshman. He's playing JV. He's a quarterback. We took a kid with us that his dad played in the NFL. He's good lineage. He's a good player. We brought the fastest kid in the school, brought with us. We watched the game until halftime tonight, and they were uninterested. Now that we live in North Carolina, we watched a whole North Carolina State Clemson game today, and the kids were on their phones doing whatever. And when we went to the South Carolina game, the last game we went to, like, they're sitting there like, we know what they're going to do. Like, it's like a high school whatever. They're like, when the running back lines up right, they're counter left. When they, you know what, and they lose interest, there's like, you know what I mean? And I was like, come on, you know, that's our team. And they're like, no, the stadium's awesome, it's big, you know, everything around it's pretty cool, but, you know, I don't know, it's just.
No, your point is really well taken. And, listen, man, I appreciate you calling in tonight. Thank you, my friend. Thanks for sharing your perspective with us.
No problem. My phone signal didn't kind of break up.
No, you sound great, man. Thank you, brother. Good talking
to you.
All
right, well, you guys have a good night, and go Vols, and I'm happy for the players, but I hope it doesn't change anything. And
that's sad. I'm happy for the players, and I hope it didn't. Thank you, my friend. It didn't change anything, and you can be happy for the players. And my number is 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402 if you want to get in with us tonight. Again, 865-200-5402. Bino, any thoughts about what our caller had? And then we'll go back to our phone calls if we get any more. Go ahead, Bino.
Yeah, I think there are only three things that we probably learned from tonight. One is that our players are not going to quit.
Yep.
Two is that we're not going to lose 9 football games in the season. And three is that Jay Hopson better not be on our coaching hot list.
Boy, he was bad. They were bad.
That's the most undisciplined football team I've ever seen in the state.
They were.
Southern Miss,
I mean, Tony, what were they doing, man?
I thought Southern Miss was a much better team than that. You know, the record since 5-3.
Right.
So I thought we were going to have a little competition there.
Who were the five?
Must have been some Pop Warner teams.
I mean, some hoopties.
Some Pop Warner teams or something, but they looked horrible, man. They looked horrible.
And that quarterback that starting quarterback from
now,
them.
That was straight garbage. That was garbage. He couldn't play for us, team.
He couldn't.
He could not even suit up. He couldn't get on the field. Tony, I wouldn't even put him on the field.
Tony, he couldn't play.
He couldn't play dead.
For any
he
team.
He couldn't play the other Cowboy pitcher.
No, he couldn't play for any team, Tone, that we've played so far.
No.
He's easily the worst quarterback we've seen.
He's the worst quarterback I've seen on that field a long time.
No question.
He's worse than what we're playing with right now.
What's weird is, Bino, for them, is the Griggs kid came in and really gave them a boost, and he's obviously a much better athlete than the young man that started. And that was strange that they waited so long to go to Griggs, Bino. It really worked out well for Tennessee.
Oh, yeah, it was, Tony. And he had actually started before last week against UAB. He had actually started the three games before that. And how this guy got back in there is anybody's guess.
He must be on the Butch Jones, John Curry plan.
Well, I know when I was watching the game, they did say that he and the other quarterback were, you know, in position, were battling for the position. They were still in competition for the position, you know.
Yeah.
But he should have been there a long time ago.
Now, was that before you nodded off?
Oh, yeah, way before I nodded off.
Sorry.
Oh, yes, way before
I'm trying to figure out, because I'm going to tell you something about tonight's game. That will put you to sleep.
Yeah.
Not to mention all the stuff we did today to tailgate.
Oh,
which is,
man.
Is that exhausting? How many people did you have pulling on you, taking pictures with you? But, you know, I'm not joking, and to the listeners, people that saw this know this is true. There had to be, this year, going through that tailgate, a couple 3,000 people.
Oh, yeah.
Am I joking?
You know, you're not joking. There were a lot of people.
Came and went.
Oh, yeah.
All day.
It was great.
It was really great. It was really fun.
I enjoyed myself. I had a great time. And all the fans. I mean, all the fans that were there. So it was a great day. Great day, but, you know, kind of wore me out a little bit. Kind of wore me out, but I'm here.
It totally wore me out. It was really something. 865-200-5402 is my number again. 865-200-5402. All right, T. Rob, let's talk about McBride.
Okay.
What did you make? And then we'll go back to our calls. As some calls are rolling in. What did you make of Tennessee's quarterback play tonight? Let's talk about Will McBride, the Texan.
The Texas Tornado, huh?
Yes, sir.
Well, I thought he had a great quarterback presence, T. I like the way he snapped the ball out there. Like he's got a pretty good touch on it. But you can tell he's very inexperienced.
Yes.
You know, threw some balls. He threw some good balls. Some questionable.
Sure.
You know, the one with Callaway got hurt, short, out for an out route, you know. But good spot, low and away. No one gets the ball except our receiver, nobody, so it was incomplete.
Yep.
But I think with a little bit more work and a little bit more coaching, I think he's going to be a pretty good quarterback and all. But I liked his play better than I've liked Garantano's so far.
Why do you say that? What do you mean?
Well, it's just something about his presence out there.
Huh.
His presence, you know, when he ran the ball, he ran with authority. He ran the ball, you know, it's something about that quarterback strut, you know, that quarterback strut thing. You know, he's got that presence.
You know what's interesting, Bino, and this is how I would verbalize what Tony's saying, but I didn't play the position like Tone did. I like that kid's body language from the minute he walked into that game, and I have not liked. And I'm not knocking Garantano, because, again, I'm saying he's a tough kid. But his Garantano's body language to me is really odd for a starting quarterback. Bino, what do you think?
I would agree, Tony. I thought the same thing. I thought McBride looked like a more natural runner the couple of times that he ran, and I thought his decision to run when he decided was better. I don't know how to verbalize it any other way than that.
Yeah, it's odd, Tone, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You know,
about Garantano, and I don't know whether it's just an accumulation of hits or what the deal is, but it's like his body language just says, get me out of here.
You know, his body language, their body language is a lot different.
No doubt.
McBride was, you know, I liked his body language. I liked his presence, you know, I liked the way he commanded the offense and everything.
Yep.
Like I say, it just come from an inexperience. Few plays I see when he dropped back. He had plenty of time, no pressure on him, and he ran the ball, which, you know, I'm thinking, and he took a little wicked lick on that
yeah.
run. So, you know, I was saying, why are you running the ball? Stay in the pocket, son. Stay in the
right.
pocket. But like I
right.
said, it comes from inexperience. You know, he needs more playing time. But I think that with some more work,
yeah.
I think he's going to be a pretty good quarterback. You know, I've said that about the other two, but, you know, like I say, T, it remains to be seen. But like I said, I think he's going to be a pretty good quarterback. And, you know, like I said, it remains to be seen.
I'm Tony Basilio. He's Tony Robinson. You know, T, we ought to have you on this side more often and get Superstar Alex off the screen because you make me look better. Alex is too young and too cute.
Yeah.
Plus, you're really, you're bringing it tonight. We'll go back to the phones. 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. Just one final thought, and then I'll get our next call in. When I watch our quarterbacks, none of them so far, guys, none of them have looked really coached. Am I wrong in saying that, Tone?
To me, no, you're not wrong at all. It shows on that. It shows in their play, T. It shows in their play. It shows in their preparation.
Yeah.
It just really stumps me.
Yeah.
That, you know, our 2-minute drill, our quarterbacks are looking to the sideline.
What in the hell?
For a play.
I mean, it
just really kills me, man. It's unbelievable. If we don't run a 2-minute drill, if we don't do 2-minute drill
yeah.
every day, man, something is definitely, definitely wrong over there.
Back to our phones we go. T-Rob's been taking mental reps all night long and bringing it to the table. Let's get our next call in. 865-200-5402. Hello and welcome in.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air.
Hey, Tony. Long-time listener and first-time caller.
Hey, thanks for being there, man.
Yeah, man, I listen to you guys all the time, and I go by Tone Ages on Twitter, and I just wanted to call, and first thing I want to tell you is I've said some things to you, and I want to straight up apologize as a man. Had some issues, and I just wanted to tell you I'm sorry for those things, certain comments. next thing I want to say is it's an absolute privilege to be on the phone with Tony Robinson. Absolute hero of mine. I think he hit the nail on the head. There was something about Will McBride tonight, with those 8 snaps, that something about him that he just carried himself in a certain way. And God love Jarrett Garantano. I mean, that guy has taken a beating after beating after beating, and he kept coming back. So kudos to him for his moxie and his guts. And when you said earlier that it's almost like he's been, like certain players have been undercoached, I think that is the absolute bottom of the line truth. Absolutely. I think these guys have been led to slaughter and they haven't been coached and developed. And it was a really, really great thing, in my opinion, to see. And, of course, I didn't see everything because I watched it on TV. But it was, from my vantage point, from what Neyland Stadium looked like, everything was packed out to a certain degree. At least, I would say, at least, in my opinion, from what I saw on TV, 80 to 90,000, maybe. And it was great to see the support, and it was great to have a win. And I love everything you guys do, and I'll get off the phone here and let you guys talk. But Tony Robinson, I love you since 85, brother. And Tony Basilio, please accept my apology.
Oh, hey, listen, man. I want to say something to you. First of all, I really appreciate you saying that. That's the first time it's ever happened in my life in doing this all these years. But you got to understand something. I am not a guy. I don't go around taking things personally. I roll with it. And I understand that sometimes people are hurting and they hurt and they lash out. And I've been that guy. So, you know, I've suffered from some things myself. So please, man, don't think twice about that. And, man, I really appreciate the way you've come in here and the way you've expressed your opinion tonight. And I appreciate you standing up as well. So thank you for being there, man.
Thank you.
Good talking to you.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Have a good evening. Good talking to you. Yeah, God bless you. Guys, what do you do next week? Somebody just brought up a great point, and that caller just brought up a great point. And I'm tweeting this out right now. You're Butch Jones, okay? You're misspelled. I was getting ready to misspell your Butch Jones on Twitter. Tennessee starting quarterback next week will be Bino at Missouri. Who's the starting quarterback?
If Jarrett Garantano is 100%, he's the starting quarterback. Anything less than that, it's Will McBride.
Tony.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, it's according to how what kind of spring he has, an ankle sprain, a high ankle sprain. You know, either one's going to be a problem. You know, because I've had that same thing, and I remember it's hard to work with, man. That ankle is something, especially on your plant foot.
Yeah.
You know, you can't really plant. You can't push off on it.
Yeah.
And I remember that against Auburn my junior year. So that was the same thing. I had a shoulder sprain. So he's in a. I don't think he'll be our starting quarterback next week if he doesn't get, you know, that ankle is whew, that's a bad sprain.
Well, the trouble with any kind of injury like that is that it's difficult to stay up. I mean, you can start a game.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But all it takes, like you saw Garantano tonight, you know, when that guy hit him, and it wasn't like he was hit late, but when that guy hit him, it was like...
He grabbed that ankle.
He grabbed that ankle immediately. And then when he fell over at the end of the first half, he grabbed that ankle again. I mean, I've had that injury before, an injury like that, a high ankle sprain or that kind of thing. Man, that thing is so tender.
Oh, yeah.
And nothing you can do gets rid of it, right?
Oh, no. You're going to live with an ankle sprain for the rest of your life.
I mean, it's a bitch, it's man.
You're going to live with that for the rest of your life. I had an ankle, that my ankle, and... When I'm walking sometimes, it's just a little dip, and I don't catch it. Bang, it just tweaks it, and that's all it takes. And I'm like, oh, man, that hurts.
865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. Bina, anything else from tonight's game stand out to you? Before we go back to the phones, if any call in.
Tell you, I got to thinking as I was watching our offensive line that, basically, our offensive line is a portrait of everything that's gone wrong in Jones's program.
Yeah.
You've recruited fairly well there, and you've got some high hopes, and yet you've got failure to develop, you've got attrition, you've got a failed strength and conditioning program, you've got poor deployment, and you've got injuries. And those things, that is Butch Jones's program.
That's true.
And he's like, we have not. Is it poor development, poor deployment, poor everything, T? Poor everything. I think the best thing we have over there is running backs and linebackers, basically. What I see, I think our offensive line, good God, oh, man.
How bad is that offensive line, dude?
Everything that Chandler and those guys done tonight was on their own, basically. Chandler hit that 20-yard touchdown run, which was a great run on his part, but the line did block at that time. And the other times, man, what is going on the front? What's going on up front there? You know, we got to have some guys for the trenches, man. That's where the ball games are won, in the trenches.
I want to bring up one more thing before I go back to the phones. How much do they ruin football now? And tonight's game is a good example of this. Tonight's game took about 4 hours to play, guys, when it was a fast-moving first half. Why? Because those officials love throwing those flags. That call for leaping, guys.
Oh, that was
ridiculous. That's the dumbest damn thing I've ever seen.
That was ridiculous.
I mean, what in the hell is that?
The play was about over. I mean, the kid kicked the ball and he jumps. But I was scratching my head about, what is this? A flag, and then the coach gets involved. And
love the coach coming off the field. Yeah, I love that. He snapped. Yeah, he snapped. I love him.
And they gave him a personal foul, and Tennessee goes in and scores another touchdown. But
let's go to the phones. Dino, you have a thought on that? I mean, how stupid that is and what they're doing now to college football?
Well, I mean, Tony, no, you can bet whatever's going on in college football, when you get SEC officials involved, it's exponentially worse. You know what I think about them.
I mean, that damn coach, and he can't coach a lick, obviously, looking at his team play tonight, he snapped. I mean, they're snapping, and then there's that. That guy went full red.
It doesn't matter if it's football or basketball or what it is. Teams that come in from other conferences and have SEC officials, they've got a stunned look on their face like, we're playing by a totally different set of rules than we've played all year.
Oh, and one other point I want to make before we go back to our phones. Just one other point. Caller mentioned earlier getting a Gundy at Oklahoma State. First of all, I would rather watch Tennessee's game today than Oklahoma State. I would rather watch a game that's 24-10 that features real football played, that actually some hard running by John Kelly, some physical football, than watch an Arena Football League game played that's played in the Big 12. Am I wrong, Bino?
No, Tony. That whatever that was today was not football.
I mean, that game ended up, what, 70-6, 70?
62-52?
What is that? What is that?
The Vegas total on it was 76. They had that pushed by halftime.
It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, if that's what you call entertainment, more power to you.
Those are some...
And, Tony, you love offense.
I love offense. I love
But that is brutal football.
That's brutal football. And I tell you what, their defenses suck. Both teams' defenses suck. And I'm looking at these stats here.
Yes.
And I tell you what.
It's going... Yeah.
Total yards, we got beat by total yards, passing yards, and rushing yards, and we still win the game.
Yes. They had 279 to our 210.
210, yeah.
They had 161 to our 115 passing. They had 118 to our 95 rushing. But my man John Kelly took it upon himself twice to go into beast mode.
Oh, yeah.
Bottom line.
Oh, yeah. Beast mode. He's back.
I love beast mode and no lease mode. Yeah. Let's go back to our phones.
Because of their lack of discipline, though, whoever was stepping off penalties had the most yards rushing in the United States.
Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
TV.
Welcome in, my man.
It's Big Buzz. How's it going?
Hey, Buzz, how you doing?
Good. Getting ready for basketball season.
Brother, I'm excited about this basketball season. What I'm hoping is that about 40 more programs will get in trouble so we can make the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, we need that shoe scandal to be our best friend this year.
Yes, we do, man. I'm counting on the feds to take out about 40 programs.
They need to take down Pearl and then Midget Floods down there in Bama.
Oh, man. Oh, my gosh.
But I'm big win tonight. I think Will McBride looks pretty good, and I think that could be a quarterback battle in the spring. And the two quarterbacks coming in next year, Martinez and Penix, I think that's what their name is. Is that right, Tony?
Yeah. That is correct, yes.
I think they could be into that quarterback battle, too. I think Dorley may transfer, but I think the spring quarterback battle is going to be whoever the next coach is. I think that's going to be very interesting to watch because I don't think Garen Tonnell has a lock into that as a lot of people may think.
You know what? I agree with you. In fact, Garen Tonnell does not, and again, I'm not picking on him, he just doesn't look like a starting quarterback at this level to me. He just doesn't, nothing about him so far, except for his toughness, Tony. Now, I'll give him that.
Yeah, I'm giving his toughness. Now, he's a tough kid.
But nothing about him to me says, I'm your starting quarterback in 2018.
You know,
I mean,
if I was the head coach at Tennessee.
Yeah, go ahead, Tony.
Now, this is just me being real.
Yeah.
I couldn't have gave him a scholarship here at the University of Tennessee. I wouldn't have went after him as hard as they went after this kid. I couldn't have done that because he's not my type of quarterback. You know, he doesn't fit this offense. Period. He's not that type of quarterback.
Bino, that is an interesting point. He doesn't run well enough to play this offense, Bino.
If we're fair, there's only been one quarterback that can play Bush Jones's offense, and that's Dobbs because he was a running back. That's the only type of guy that can work in this offense.
Right.
I mean, they're letting them flip it about 10 yards ahead of them, and that's it. And then they're supposed to be able to run the football. Dobbs could run it, and he could run it without getting hurt. And that's the only type of quarterback that will ever work in Bush Jones' offense.
You know, that's a really interesting point because I sat here the whole time and maligned Dobbs because he couldn't throw it instead of focusing on what he could do. And I guess, you know, you learn something new every day. That's a real lesson for me because now we have our starter now can neither throw it nor run it and isn't exactly what you guys use the term diagnostics earlier. And, Tony, you were talking tonight when Garantano was in the game and healthy about how it's just such a struggle for him even to see like a corner blitz. Like tonight
right.
he got blown up.
Well, that was McBride.
And then McBride later in the game. It happened to him, too.
You know, recognition. Defensive recognition.
These are easy things, though. That corner's sitting there.
Yeah. You see the guy coming. Oh, man, come on. Check out of it.
Something.
But we don't. I don't think we've advanced that far yet, T.
Wow.
You know,
I just wonder
really
what
boggles the mind when your offense, when you don't trust your quarterback.
Yeah.
Enough to, hey, get you out of a bad play into a better play.
I mean, Chico, and you can get past Ola, C, and Danada, Chico. You can get past Ola and C.
Yeah.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
That quarterback coach is the biggest joke of all.
I mean,
we're better off without one.
Tony,
I mean,
Chico,
we needs
to go back to Puerto Rico.
We didn't have one last year, so what's the point?
What in the world? Hey, Chico, have you taught your guys past C and adios and uno, dos, and tres, Chico? I've seen tres quarterbacks, Chico, and you haven't coached one of them.
Were the Tubbs there tonight? That's all I want to know.
Of course the Tubbs were there. The lights were on in the damn stadium. I'm surprised they were on the tailgate today. Bino, that quarterback coach, is he doing anything?
Well, not that I can tell, Tony. Not that I can tell.
That guy had a great call. He worked the Tubbs in. He worked in... He worked in a Bluz reference. There was a lot of good stuff. There was a lot of good stuff happening in that phone call. 865-200-5402. Jones had Peterman, Ferguson, Dobbs, but he started Worley at the time, guys. Is that incredible, Tony? Think about that for a second.
So that tells you the type of his thinking pattern.
And what is that?
His scheme of things.
And what is his scheme of things? Helter Skelter?
Something. Helter Skelter. I don't know. Something. I can't tell you what it is, but it's definitely not up to par.
You could say that again. Let's get our next call in. 865-200-5402. So if you're making your way away from the game tonight, you want to get in with us on this glorious evening, you'll jump right in with us tonight. Because I'm going to tell you, people are not calling like they've been. Why? Because the Vols won. And that kind of people are, some people are disappointed. One of my friends texted me and said, do we have time for a comeback, Bino? To which I replied with, we're winning. And he goes, no, we're not. In capital letters, we're not. I mean, that's how people were thinking coming into tonight, Tone.
Man.
People wanted to see Butch Jones get shoved off that ledge tonight. And that's a, you know what? That's a damn shame when it comes to that. Right? Isn't it? It's a truth.
It's a shame, man.
It's a truth. It's no, Kev, please don't call again. But I love you. Let's go back to the phones. We got enough people out here that'll call in. Let's get our next call in. 865-200-5402. Hello and welcome in.
Hey, this is Stu.
Hey,
you
Stu, welcome in, buddy.
Job.
Hey, thank you, man.
Hey, listen, thanks for all you did today with the food pantry and everything. And Tony, all that he did. And I'm sorry he got tired out there, but glad he's back in. Hey, three or four quick things,
guys. Go ahead, man.
All right, number one, listen, it's a nice win, but I'm just one of the sheep out here in Knoxville. I'm kidding myself to think we're going to win two out of these next three games, and I wanted to get your guys' comment. And you stole my thunder about Chico. I remember reading about him and that he was, I guess Butch would say, very recognized in college coaching and very well thought of. And then I looked, and I guess he coached at Wabash State, Utah State, and North Texas. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, if he's so good, you would think he would be at a top Power 5 school or something. But you look at what he's done, it's like, as a fan, it would be nice that maybe he could get fired on Monday to give us something as far as hope. And then as far as the offensive line, I don't think I can recall, Tony, in 25 or 30 years where we've been had an offensive line that's just completely patchworked.
Yeah, and here's the thing about next season. You look at that roster that they're leaving, and this goes to Bino's point. For some reason, we've had two coaches in a row somehow being completely derelict when it comes to the offensive line. We don't have a center on our roster, Tone. We do not next year. Go look at it. Go look at it. And we've got one piece, Trey Smith, who's a monster player.
Who was playing offensive tackle.
He's a
tackle.
Bad man.
He's playing that blindside tackle.
He was a bad man tonight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, at times, offensive line, they've done okay, but majority of the time, tonight, man, they look rough. They look real rough out there.
All right, let me ask you. I'm going to engage a caller here because you gave me a good idea, and I just tweeted this out. Okay? And here's what I just asked on Twitter, and I'm going to ask the caller first this question. What's more likely the rest of the way? Vols win out, Vols lose out, Vols go 1-2, or the Vols go 2-1? And I'll start with our caller. What's most likely?
Guys, without question, we lose out.
Wow.
Missouri is climbing.
They are
gaining momentum.
Yes,
that offense can put points on the board.
Yes.
My expectation was we would get beat tonight. My expectation, I called it 17-13. If we hadn't had those two fumbles and cash those in, as bad as that quarterback was, who knows? So,
yes.
Guys, I leave the question to you and the callers. I just don't see it. I don't see winning two out of the next three.
I'm glad their quarterback was playing on our team tonight.
No question, son. Hey, when Darryl Taylor, that first interception that he threw, and, hey, you got to come up with them. When they throw them in your hands, you got to catch them. I'm not giving any of them back. We've had a struggle all year.
Yeah.
I was glad to see our defense. You know, all of a sudden, defensively, the last couple of games, we've come up with some turnovers.
Yeah.
Four last week.
Definitely, yeah.
Two tonight. And, you know, that's how you win football games. You know, we didn't turn last week's into a win.
Yeah, no.
But those two turnovers tonight were the reason we won the game.
We got to turn these two things around. Rushing.
What's that?
I mean, we got outrushed on our own field, and we got outpassed on our own field.
Well, here's the problem next week. Now you got me into this, caller, and I'm going to give you some time here, but you got me into this. The thing that scares me about next week's game, Bino, is not only is Missouri climbing, But they've changed the way they're playing football. They've been more physical. Tonight they ran the ball at Florida. They made a concerted effort to come out at Florida. And I got news for you. They can do it on our defense next week, obviously. But they can pick their poison with us next week. The thing that scares me is defensively, Missouri has dialed it up. They had 8 tackles for loss in that football game today. Beat Florida up at the line of scrimmage, and they will be able to do that to us next week, and it'll be a cold night. It'll be cold weather up there. I'm thinking about Garantano and his injuries. I'm thinking about how beat up he's been. I mean, that right there, you lay that scenario out, that does not play well for where we're at, because they're going to put it on us next week physically.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. Tony Odom took back over the charge of his defense back earlier this season, and they look more like the defenses that he had when he was when he was their defensive coach. Tonight was a win. I'm happy to have it, but nothing in that win suggested to me that we're going to beat any of the 3 teams remaining on our schedule.
Yeah. Wow, Tone, what do you think?
I think Vandy is our best opportunity, but I don't see us winning at Missouri, and I certainly don't see us beating LSU 2 weeks from now.
Caller, what else do you have for us before I ask Tony about that? Because I'm afraid to ask Tony that question. In fact, I don't want to ask Tony that question.
Don't ask me that question.
I don't want to do that.
Don't ask me that question.
I don't want to do that to you. I don't want to do that to you, Tone.
Guys, thanks. The last thing I got is when you compare some of the coaches that we had here, Chaney, and I think the offensive line coach that are now in Georgia.
Yes.
You know, and then I look at what we have now other than the running backs coach and the linebackers coach, which I think are top shelf. It's just a sad day. And I just feel like I'm wandering and lost like most of the Tennessee faithful do. And being an alumni, Tony, I just, at 52 years old, I've just never seen it like this. And I'll hang up, but thank you guys for your therapy and all that you do.
It's really hard. It is really hard to comprehend that our program is where it's at. You know, Bino, we were sitting there today, and we were talking with some people that we have met, speaking of my lovely wife and myself. And I got to tell you, man, I was looking at that sky tonight, that night sky, when it was starting to fall, you know, right around kickoff time, and looking at all the people over there in the Volunteer Village and all the beautiful buildings around us and just everything that's on that campus, and thought, how has it come to this? How did it come to this?
I don't know, Tony. It was a house of cards that fell apart on itself, and it's hard to believe. It's hard to fathom. We may find when we get a competent coach that our roster is better than we believe it is. But right now, it looks to me like when Bush Jones leaves here, the only thing that he will improve measurably is the APR. And I mean, we didn't hire him to be an academic advisor. We hired him to be our football coach.
No, we've got. And the trouble is, you've got him. And then you've got Bob the Builder over there.
Yeah.
And all he cares about, all he cares about is building buildings. All. Until I see otherwise from him, because in his rhetoric, I've heard nothing from him that leads me to believe that he cares about winning.
I'm guessing if you put he and Butch together and just let them go for several years, you'd have a hell of a library and no football program.
I mean, Butchie, John Curry Hamilton, which is a term that I've coined. Tone, go over there and grab us a couple cups, me and you. We're going to have a little toast.
Okay.
And 865-200-5402 if you want to get in with us tonight. What's the right there behind the there you go. See them sticking out? There you go. Grab two of them there. so far, got 176 votes in literally 7 minutes, which is a record pace for Twitter. It's a world record pace for Twitter. What's more likely? And you can answer this tonight if you want to call in among your calls with your observations on the day that was, on a day where Ohio State gets drilled, and a day where Florida gets absolutely pounded, a day where South Carolina scares Georgia, a day where Auburn wins over Texas A&M, who surely that job's going to open up, a day where Kentucky proves once again that they're Kentucky. I mean, Butch Jones is such a loser, Bino. He lost to that Kentucky team. I mean, are you kidding me?
I told you that, though.
Well, we're going to lose to Kentucky?
Yeah.
But, Tony.
I'm looking at last year's game.
Yes.
Right here in Knoxville.
Yes.
And they scared me last year, Tony. And,
yes.
And that was beat us last year here at home. And now they're home field.
Yeah.
I'm just like, man, I don't see us beat Kentucky. I don't see us beat Kentucky. Even though we play some good ball. But I just didn't see us beating Kentucky, man. I wish we would have won that game.
Yes.
We did.
Ladies,
the one thing that I hope that we've learned through this process, guys, is the SEC, even though it's down, is big boy football.
Yes.
Yeah. And you can't hand your program over to a guy who's never had that level of experience anywhere in his background.
Yes, that's
not
true.
As a player, not as an assistant. Not as a head coach.
Yes.
This is a different animal here.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for some old Dominic. Now, a coach currently in the Bluff City, because I'm going to take you back. This is a delight, a nod to the rollicking pre-Prohibition Memphis. Dominic Canales, long-lost Memphis Toddy. Reborn from our family recipe. This is blending high rye bourbon with a curated array of natural ingredients, subtle note of citrus, some botanicals, and some honey. Coalesce in what will be described as southern infused. Mm-hmm. We're going to drink to a victory tonight. I take none for granted. T-Rob, let me have your glass. It is time for some Memphis Toddy from our friends at Old Dominic.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Let us drink a toast.
Just drink
share
one.
A sip
of them.
Pure Memphis.
A toddy for the body.
Of pure Memphis. T.
A Memphis Toddy for the
friends.
Body.
Friends. This is to the volunteer okay. spirit. This is to our friends at Fish Pantry.
Oh, definitely.
Mike
oh, yeah.
Carver and W.
Oh,
Lynn,
man.
A great
Mr. Wright,
tailgate.
Jim Wright.
Jim
oh,
Wright, we
yes,
love
yeah.
you.
I love y'all. Love you guys.
The way you serve people.
This is for all the people that came out today.
God
and
bless.
The Fish
Salut in the name of my Lord.
Thank you. Uh-huh.
Thank you. Mm. Ah.
Oh, man.
I asked both of you guys.
Woo!
Yes!
Toddy for the body, man. That gets you stirred
I
up.
I asked both of you guys. The guy at Memphis, is he worth thinking about? I've been looking into him. I don't want to make my man who's listening to us tonight, who's a big Memphis guy, my boy from Old Dominic, I don't want to make him mad tonight as we promote their product. Because Norvell's really done a nice job down there. Are we taking him? Would we take Norvell here, Bino?
Tony, my fear for Norvell is how much is Norvell and how much is Fuente?
How much is Fuente?
Oh.
And how much is Norvell?
Oh.
How much is the guy to Virginia Tech now?
Yeah.
Because now you're looking at Butch Jones again, right?
Here's the deal on this. Unless you get one of the huge names out there, unless you get Franklin, unless you get Kelly, unless you get Peterson, unless you get Patterson, then everyone else comes with questions, and they'll be lucky to have a 50% initial fan approval rating. Now, that's not what matters.
No.
But that's that's where we're at in this search. And after Dooley and after Jones, no one in this fan base is going to have an unconditional belief anymore. Whoever it is going to have to prove themselves if they haven't already proven themselves big time somewhere else.
Garza Law, fifth quarter fan reaction, presented by my man Marcos Garza, online, garzalaw.com. I want to say to Marcos Garza, it was great seeing you today. Appreciate you supporting our community. Appreciate you supporting Fish Hospitality Pantry, garzalaw.com. And look, you go out, you celebrate tonight's victory for our volunteers. You get pulled over by the popo. Before you say guilty, you better say Garza. You better say Garza.
Yes, sir.
80 years of combined experience representing clients. Looking for honest, trustworthy legal representation. Marcos Garza
is your man.
Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402. And what's the difference between Marcos Garza and Butch Jones? Garza has your six. And Butch Jones will give you six about every you might get six from him twice a game if you're lucky. Because his offense is brutal. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome. Yeah, hello. Welcome to the show. Try this one more time. Welcome in. Hello. Wow. Okay. Nobody there. Tony, what did you do to my callers tonight? You've chased all my callers away. Hello and welcome into the Garza Law fifth quarter fan reaction.
Hello?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Hey, brother.
Hey, I was just listening. And
yes, sir.
Talking, you know, Jeff Roboldine out there, Bino, and you and everybody, it's all good. I think that y'all give a little bit too less credit to the schedule UT has played.
Uh-huh.
I mean, Georgia now was number one. UMass ain't getting blowed away, you know, by
right.
nobody.
Right.
And poor old Gators can't beat themselves in a practice game. So I was just really just hoping for y'all to, you know, look at the other side.
Tell me what the other side is. I want to make sure I understand what you're saying. So you're saying that, in your humble opinion, that the schedule's been difficult for the Vols. Kentucky, who lost today to a depleted Ole Miss team, who's playing out the string, that's a difficult game?
No, I'm not saying all that.
Georgia Tech had 700 yards on us. What about that? Was that a...
And I do understand that.
Okay.
That's all good. But
yeah.
Y'all just want to keep on beating on poor old Butch.
Yeah.
Y'all, I want to keep him forever. I'm a Gator fan.
I know you
are. Ah, there we go. Thank you, my man. Well, good talking to you. Now we got it.
We got it. But hey,
see, Bino, I figured that out now, yeah, huh?
They better do something too, Tony.
Oh, they already did something.
They've done
something. That's a difference.
But the thing is this.
Yes.
They still look terrible.
Well, no. The problem with Florida is that Florida has hired two clunkers in a row now.
So who are they hiring now?
The problem.
Who are they hiring now?
Bino, give me a final thought. That was awesome. I don't know where they're going now. The word is, Bino, they're grabbing Scott Frost. That's the word. I think Bino's left the building. T-Rob, everybody's left us, man.
Well, I guess they're out
and
celebrating
Alex is
homecoming.
Sick.
Homecoming tonight.
Yeah.
Everybody's out celebrating the homecoming victory and everything.
That's a good point.
You know, so, because, you know, we don't know when we're going to have another one like this, T. We don't know when we're going to have another.
That's a good point.
Another celebration. So, you know, enjoy this one.
That's a good point.
Have fun, you know. Just be responsible and do what you do and be safe.
865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. Go open the garage door to my man Ewad, who's going to walk in now.
All right.
Second shift on Fox Sports, as they used to call it. If you want to get in with us, 865-200-5402. Poll question I've asked. What's more likely? what's more likely? Vols win out. Vols lose out. Vols go 1-2. Vols go 2-1. So far, here's the voting. And by the way, as you call tonight's show, the way this works is, you will be clicked and you'll hear us on hold and you're there. And then we'll come to you. Nobody screens your call. Nobody asks you what you want to talk about. We take your call as it comes in the order it comes in. And here is the way the voting so far breaks out. 311 votes in. Vols win out 2%. Vols lose out 27%. Vols go 1-2, 56%. Vols go 2-1, 14% of you say the Vols are going to go 2-1. 2% believe the Vols are going to win out, so that's 16% of the vote. 27%, close to one-third of you, believe that the Vols are going to lose every game they play from here on out. 56% believe that our Tennessee Volunteers are going to go 1-2. Which, let me tell you this, if I'm a betting man right now, I would think that it's a stretch to think Tennessee wins next week. We have a listener watch party up at Bearden Hill Fieldhouse next week, and I'm starting to believe that that's going to be difficult for our Volunteers. Now, call me crazy, but I'm looking at how Missouri's playing. I'm looking at the way we played tonight. I'm looking at them, I'm looking at us, and here's looking at you, kid. Go back to our phones. We'll get Eric Waddell in here momentarily, who was the prophet of doom for Butch Jones all those years ago. They still talk about him. That scares me. Missouri next week scares me. What I saw tonight in Neyland Stadium, I give Tennessee credit for being resourceful. I give them credit for coming out victorious. I really do. To that Florida fan, you are a punk and a clown, sir. And that's why I put the hammer down on you.
Yeah, I knew it was something. By the way, somebody
called you a mouth breather, and I disagree with that. I stand against that. We don't call names here. 865, unless you're a mouth breather, at which point we call names. But I didn't call you a mouth breather. 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. If you want to get in the hunt and in the mix, let's get our next call in on daylight savings time, Tone. Do you know that? You're gaining an hour tonight.
We're getting an hour tonight?
Yeah.
Okay.
Plus, you had your 90-minute nap.
So what time
is it right now for you, Tone? It's 12:57. It's actually 11:57 for you.
Oh, man.
That's my man right there, VFL Tony Robinson.
Some more playtime tonight.
That's a my man right there. That's a my man. Let's go back to our phones. We'll get as many people in here as humanly possible. Let's get our next caller in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony. This is Brandon in Chattanooga.
Hey, Brandon. Welcome in, brother.
Oh, that was a mouth breather. What are you talking about? That's a Florida. What kind of loser you got to be a Florida Gator fan and calling the Tony Basilio Balls call-in show? And I mean, we get it. Your team sucks too. But what are you calling this show for? We don't want to hear from you. He sounded like he was pre-sheep the win,
which I kind of like. The fact that he was drunk gave him a little more time with me. And it helped me to kind of enjoy what he did. But, yeah, your point is well taken, man.
You read him like a book from the start. But the funny thing is I had pretty good seats, and a few people around me you could tell this is probably the only game they've been to all year, you know, and just the one chance they get to go, and it was really cool. But I kind of started telling them a little bit about KJJ. And they didn't believe me. Whenever they announced, of course, KJJ, the boos erupted in the stadium. And I got their thoughts on it all and everything. And the funniest thing about it was when a kid that's sitting behind me is his first freaking game. And he yells out, cause I go, get KJJ out of here. And he goes, get him the hell out of here. And everybody just burst into laughter. And it was like a nice reprieve. And everybody to see, I don't know how many were there, but I would guess, you know, maybe 80s, maybe a little bit less, but it was a very good crowd. And I was glad to see that stupid empty Neyland, was a failure. Because this fan base, despite what we've gone through, came together. The tailgates were awesome. It sounds like you had an awesome one. And, it's just, this fan base came together and we're going to be in better times soon. Don't you believe that?
People I believe in tell me that the crowd was about 70 to 75,000. Which, given everything that's going on here, is a minor miracle. Now, I want Tony to know something. Tony, Tallahassee today, and they have pictures of Tallahassee today. Tallahassee might have had 45 or 50,000 people at their game today.
At Florida State's
the
game?
Worst crowd I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, man.
You talk about a bunch of damn front runners.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's
a team that's been running up front, okay?
For a long time. And I tell you what, now, Florida State are very passionate about their football also. But they don't have the fan base that we have here. Our fans love Tennessee.
This place is insane, man.
Yeah, it's, you know, and I'm glad to be a part of it.
And Brandon, I'll tell you this right now, man. 1,000%, we deserve better. We should demand better. I believe we're going to get better. We can't get worse. And that's a pretty incredible turnout. Now, some would say, well, all you're doing is you're keeping Butch Jones. No. All you're doing is people went and enjoyed a football game on a really nice day. And it was a really nice day.
Agree. All day long. It's still nice outside.
Gorgeous outside.
Gorgeous, man.
I might take my instrument and go sit outside and play some guitar this afternoon, tonight. Middle of night.
Yeah, it feels real
right,
nice.
All right, guys. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate you guys. And go Vols.
Thank you, my man. Good talking to you. And you know what? Brandon, there is nothing wrong with supporting the kids, which is another point. Look, I stayed out of that empty kneeling thing. That just doesn't speak to me. Boycotting football games, but I don't tell people how to think. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say, well, that's the wrong thing to do, but it wasn't my forte.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not something I felt called to get into.
I think it's
but I'm not going to piss on it either because I understand fans. It's the only thing in your grasp that you get to do where you actually feel empowered.
So I
see both sides of it. I'm not wussing out here, but
what are you doing then?
What am I doing? I'm probably wussing out. Back to thank you, Tony, for calling me out. Eric, were you
what
surprised
you
the
here?
Size of that crowd, Eric Waddell?
Yes. Yeah, especially. With all the things I was listening to all week about what kind of numbers we're going to show. One thing I knew that was going to be positive, at least for the first half, is being homecoming, a lot of the students that are involved in all the events and in all the contests, I knew for the first half they were going to show up. Because they get to halftime, they announce who won what and all that. But I was curious to see if everybody was going to stream out.
Did they stream out or did they stay?
They mostly stayed. I think that, you know, we were, at least at that point, we were actually winning a football game, and we looked like we had a pulse, and I think that...
We actually threw the ball long to start the game. What'd you think of that, at the midfield?
It still stumps me.
We threw the ball long, Tony. What do you mean it stumps you? We threw the ball long.
We need to do that more, Tony. We need to do it more.
And he caught it.
I missed that one, then.
Oh.
Well...
Of course, you know, you have a little success with it, then that's a good reason to get away from it.
Yeah, and they never went back to it.
Well,
let's
that's
go
the
back.
Right thing to do.
Let's go back to the phones, 865-200-5402. See, this guy on Twitter or on Periscope, one, just said that the long pass was a troll. Butch Jones trolling our fan base, which is the other thing. People are so mad at him that even when he does something well or correctly, people still jump all over him. And it has to be a troll. You know, let's give some credit here. I mean, Butch Jones did a nice job tonight coaching that game, didn't he, Tony?
Well, see, it still stops me on that one.
What do you mean? They won the game, and he kept the game in front of him.
The kids played hard.
The kids won that game. You know, the kids won that game, and also the quarterback for SMU, he was on our team today. Of Southern Miss, he was on our side today. No,
so he was really bad.
He was really bad. He was really, really bad. And, you know, two turnovers, great by the defense.
Yep.
We turned those turnovers into points.
Yes.
Which is great on the offensive side. But I think we, with the young quarterback in, you know, he's done the right thing. I think Butch done a decent job.
He had to dial it back
a little bit.
Because you can't throw the game away.
No, you can't. He has done that a lot. So
that's exactly right.
And he kind of controlled this game a little bit more today. And got himself a victory.
Let's get our next call in here. It's a Freudian slip on my part. Let's get our next call in here in regards to Law Fifth Quarter Fan Reaction. Hello and welcome in.
Hey, Tony. It's Mark in Dallas.
Hey, Mark in Dallas. Welcome in, man.
Thank you, sir. I live pretty close to SMU, so I thought they had UCF in tonight, so I thought I'd head over and take a look at Scott Frost, since there's a decent chance that he'll be in our league next year, either as the Florida coach or, I guess, at least a slim chance as our coach. They won the game. They stayed unbeaten, but he failed some people's litmus tests. I thought I'd let you know, fourth quarter, they were up by four, and they were third and goal at the one, and they came out in the shotgun and got blown up for a loss to two to leave the door open. They were everything the whole game was in the shotgun, like, you know, kind of like us, only a lot more successful. But they left the door open. They ended up getting the game-winning stop, but they won by 7 points. But, they ran the shotgun on the goal line.
Let me ask you, since you were there, another guy that might be on Tennessee's shopping list, people don't want to hear this. People do not want to hear this.
Uh-oh.
But Chad Morris might be on Tennessee's shopping list when it's all said and done, because that's the aisle we shop in. tell me about Chad Morris, because we go off the bargain rack, even though we have the billionaire Haslams out there. Tell me about him.
Well, I haven't watched a whole lot of SMU's games, and I didn't play, so I don't have the eye of Tony Robbins. You know, don't ask me to break it down, but, you know, he was the Clemson offensive coordinator, and I remember that a lot of people were hoping we'd get him back when we hired Dave Clawson. I think he's been the head coach for just 2 years here, and he's definitely turned the team around. SMU doesn't look like an easy job at all. Very few people go to their games. I mean, it looks like the fans left 30 years ago with the death penalty and just never come back. I mean, they had a ranked team in there tonight, and they, I don't know, 18,000 people, maybe 15,000, maybe. But he won a lot more games last year than the year before. I mean, they were doing nothing when he took over, and this year he's going to get them in a bowl game. I think they've already won six games. Their offense looks pretty wide open. You know, I would hope that our shopping list would be a little more premium than that, but I mean, for some of the, for, you know, for considering the last couple coaches we've had, I don't think it would be terrible to hire Chad Morris.
You saw him last week, Eric, down in Dallas?
Actually, in Cincinnati.
Cincinnati, they played, and what did you think of Chad Morris's product?
I think
do they play stupid football?
They don't play stupid football. What they, they're extremely limited in overall talent.
Okay.
He took over pretty much a disaster area at SMU.
Okay. He'll be fitting them right here.
Well, he'll have a little bit more talent here.
Yeah, let's hope.
He'll have a
but it's relative.
Because you're in this league.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he took over a team that had very little talent for the American, you know, for the AAC.
Uh-huh. Wow, that's science.
And he's got them to the point where they're very competitive in the league. I mean, they're not going to win their division. They're not going to win the conference.
Yeah.
But they don't go into a football game anymore without a chance to win.
Right.
So he has stepped the program up.
He definitely has stepped the program up. I think the best way, it's obvious what he's done. He's put the vast majority of the talent that he does have on offense.
Okay.
And so they get into these shootouts.
He's taking his best athletes and putting them on offense. And
right.
He did do a really nice job at Clemson.
Yes.
And he's a great recruiter. So there are things I like about him.
Yes.
I'd
love to see one more year out of the guy at SMU to see if he can actually
see what
do
he really
something
has.
With a program.
Well, to be honest with you, you really don't know what you have in Frost. See, that's the problem with a lot of this stuff. You're talking about these coaches.
Yeah.
And everybody talks about John Gruden. I mean, to me, that's the biggest gamble of them all. I don't understand how you take a guy
that's never
recruited a player.
I've never understood the fascination.
You compare him to Nick Saban, Tony. Nick Saban is a habitual recruiter. It's all he does. He is an ass-kisser on the recruiting trail like no other, and he's great at it.
He's great at it, and he gets his players. He gets his players.
Has John Gruden shown that he can do that?
No, he's never done it. No, he hasn't shown that. So
I don't understand. I mean, I hate to be the skunk at the garden, the John Gruden skunk at the garden party. And as for this Charlie Ergen fantasy, hey, look, Aldo Nova. I love Aldo Nova. I love fantasy. I love a good novel. We all do. Fantasy's a great thing. You know, kids play Dungeons and Dragons, I guess. Fantasy football. I've had a couple fantasy football teams through the years. All that stuff is true. I don't get it. Gruden's going to have assistants at recruit. No, it's not how it works, dude. Nick Saban is the recruiter at Alabama. He's a habitual recruiter. The guy at Clemson is a habitual recruiter. These guys don't want their asses kissed. They're ass kissers. You don't understand that. I'm sorry to rain on your parade. Hiring John Gruden here doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't. It just doesn't. But anyway, to our caller, continue. I'm sorry, Mark in Dallas. Go ahead.
Thank you. Well, that was UCF's closest game tonight, and SMU definitely had a chance to win. So there's that for Morris. I mean, he called the right play. I mean, they were the closest they got to tying it back up. They lost by 7. There was about 5 minutes to go, and they were 4th and 3 at the UCF 38, and they threw about a 7-8 yard pass, and the kid's all by himself. It hits him right in the chest, and he just drops it. I mean, if he catches that ball, I mean, if they look like they were going to go in there and tie the game. I mean, and then if they win, you know, Chad Morris becomes a name tomorrow. So there's that. So what is this Charlie Ergen fantasy? I already talking about earlier. Did somebody write on the internet?
Yeah.
Going to be the White Knight.
That's exactly right. He's going to take down the Haslams. Now. And this whole thing with this shadow figure, he's going to usurp their power. I'm going to write about it this week, why it's fantasy. I like the concept. Unfortunately, it's fantasy. And I'm going to write about it this week on my blog. The long and short of it is, he doesn't have the liquidity right now, nor does he have the level of commitment toward UT right now financially to be able to do that. He just doesn't. But I love the fantasy makers. I love the people that spin fantasy. It's a lot of fun. Fantasy's a fun thing, and it gives people hope. You know, look, Scott Frost, to me, he's a gamble. The guy at Purdue's a gamble. Matt Campbell out there at Iowa State is a gamble. You know, a lot of times, sure things don't work out. The guy at UCLA, Mora Jr., could I have convinced you, Tony, that he was going to be that big a failure at UCLA? I would never believe that,
you know, considering his dad, you know.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
And the success he had in Atlanta with the Falcons. I mean, he was a nice young coach.
Yeah, but, you know, I would have never thought that.
So you just don't know, man.
You really don't.
I did want to say one thing about Scott Frost.
Frosty.
Because of my other fan allegiance, I do know a little more about those American Conference coaches.
Yes, that's right.
Frost.
And that's where we're getting our coach.
I would say
God
there's
bless
a pretty
you.
Good chance.
Well, those damn
the
minor
difference
leagues.
With Frost to the rest of them, he took over a team that literally was 0-12.
Frosty
took over a team that was 0-12.
And this is year
yes.
two for him.
Yes.
And now they're pretty good.
They're pretty darn good.
I mean, they're top 20.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I know everybody right now is in a panic about running the spread.
Yes.
But he runs the spread how you have to run the spread. It's got to be up-tempo. It's got to keep the other team off balance.
Our caller, who I love, just told me every damn snap was in a shotgun. I don't want that here.
Yeah, and that's
fine. I don't want that.
No,
you get on the goal. You get on the goal line. You get under center and quit acting like a jackass.
Well,
that's a litmus test for me, Tony. Am I lying?
Oh no. Yeah, you're right. Let me tell you.
I'm just saying. If you're going to run that offense, he runs it like you're supposed to. Not like a half a toe in like we do.
That's a good point.
I've done a coaching clinic.
Mark, I'm sorry. We'll come right back to you.
I've done a coaching clinic. Okay.
Yeah.
There were about 40, 50 quarterbacks.
Yes.
And I asked them all, I said, have y'all ever took a snap from under the center? And they all told me, we've never took a snap under the center. And
yeah.
I looked at them like, what? I mean, who are your coaches? I mean, this is unbelievable, man.
Say that again?
They never took a snap under the center.
So many
Where?
Of them don't anymore.
Here! I was at a coaching clinic.
In Tennessee, yes. Without quarterbacks.
All these high school quarterbacks.
Everybody's doing this now.
Have never taken a snap
from
under the center.
Destroyed football.
And, you know, I can't believe this, buddy, man. Listen, if you want to make it to the next level, you better know how to take a snap from the center.
And Mark and Dallas, that's the problem with the NFL right now, Mark and Dallas. You watch the NFL, when a frontline guy gets hurt, there's nobody behind him because the college game's not developing quarterbacks for that level anymore.
Not.
That's another conversation for another day.
Yeah.
But go ahead, Mark.
At this point, if an NFL team has a competent backup, they turn right around and trade him so he can start for somebody else.
That's exactly right. Mark, anything else for us on the way out? Great phone call by you.
Oh, thank you, sir. One more nugget from Frosty's game tonight that I think you'll want to hear. I've never seen this level of swagger, I don't think, in the SEC. SMU got the ball back one last time after the kid dropped the fourth and three pass. They got the ball at about their own five with say, 3 minutes left. And the entire UCF defense was on the field. And they were the SMU offense was still on the sideline. They were a moment away from coming out. And they were playing music over the PA. I don't know. It's a popular hip-hop-y type of song. I mean, it's a nice little tune. I would say about 8 or 9 of the UCF players on the field literally started breaking it down and dancing with some swag to the beat. And the UCF fan next to me was like, "What in the heck?" And then they stopped when the opponent came out. Now they got the stop about 2 minutes later. I mean, I think they might have gotten one first down, so they got the stop. But I thought, man, oh man, if he takes that Florida job, I just had images of their defensive team out there dancing around.
To our
music.
Third down for what?
Exactly. Yeah.
That gives me the creeps. Thank you, my friend. You just kept me up all night. Tone, here's the deal. Here's the thing we haven't seen here. Uh-huh. Butch Jones, everything's manufactured with him. The love of the VFL, bullshit.
Yeah.
The love of this place, bullshit. It's all manufactured. Here's one thing you can't manufacture, though. His kids play hard for him, and they do. But they don't have fun.
No.
What I just heard Mark in Dallas describe firsthand at a game.
Those guys were having fun.
Those guys were loose.
They were loose. They're having fun.
I want to make fun of this place. We're on the road.
Yeah.
Come on, bring it at me.
Yeah, you can tell when the guys are having fun.
That's
they're
right.
bouncing around. They got a little bit more pep in their step. You can tell the way their strut, their stride.
And Eric, when you were coming out here tonight, one point Tony was making about our quarterbacks. He was talking about the difference between McBride and Garantano, and they look like two young players. Yeah. But he looks at McBride and he says, "I'm looking at his body language." And he's like,
he looks like a quarterback.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You agree?
He looks like a quarterback. Now, whether he can actually be a quarterback, I don't know yet.
Right.
But he walks out on the field like, I'm the man.
Yeah. You know, and that's, you know, he's not, it's just like arrogant.
Not in a bad way, but he's like,
not in a bad way, but it's a good thing.
I'm the guy.
I'm the guy, you know, and I like this presence. I like this control of the offense.
Yeah.
You know, and everything.
And like I told Tony, he's got that quarterback mentality. He's got that quarterback strut, you know, that quarterback look.
Quarterback strut. Let's go back to the phones. Quarterback
strut. Quarterback is a different breed.
Of course, he was 1 for 8. So that's
He was 1 for 8. Yeah, no, yeah,
and
yeah,
I'm not saying that.
I'm going to give that to. I'm going to give that to not enough playing time.
Sure.
So
yeah, believe me, I'm not saying in either of those kids at this point.
And you know, he's got some practice time in this past week.
Yeah.
But practice is not like game time. Wow. So he has to. He's got to adjust to the speed of this game. And now I tell you what. Now next week, the speed's going to be different. It's going to be even faster because you're not playing Southern Miss. You're playing.
Well, I can say about Southern Miss,
really?
They're not big, but they're pretty quick. Considering for a Conference USA football
team. They suck.
They're quick.
They are suck.
Yeah, but they
they're terrible.
They look bad. Their offense. Well, I mean, their offense just gave us the game. I mean, their offense.
Yes, they absolutely did.
I like.
I'm talking about
Warrior.
Him reacting to what's happening with the defense.
Right. Somebody's talking about Warrior here. Warrior, when they were getting ready to assess that penalty to him, and he knew that he got the gun on the shoulder, he was over there telling Coach, come on, man, relax. He was over there dancing and having a good old time with it.
Uh-huh.
And that kid plays a lot of swagger.
Yeah, I mean, that's... Mm-hmm. I mean,
and he's a good ball player.
He's a good ball player. That's what you want,
you know what? I'm watching Miami. We're watching you tonight.
Go
ahead. Finish your sentence. Go ahead.
You finish. You watching the U? You're watching the U. The U is getting that swagger back.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's that swagger. Mark Richt is down there doing a great job down there with Miami. Okay. Miami before they didn't have that. They didn't have.
I got
that,
something
that
for you on this.
Swagger.
Okay.
They didn't have that swagger. Now they get that. Hey, look who's coming back, Irving. All the boys are starting.
That's exactly.
All
right.
The boys are starting to trickle back in now because they see that. Hey,
exactly
the guys are getting that swagger back. And so once we get our swagger back here,
all your guys are coming.
Hey. It's a different breed.
By the way, you like the Mark Richt, I'm at Miami, I'm cool, goatee thing going on?
Geez.
I mean, he was so clean shaven at Georgia.
Yeah.
It's like he has somehow learned to relax again.
You got
because that's part of what hurt him at
Georgia. To all the police listening to us right now, first of all, I want to make sure that the police understand that I love you. If you're a police officer, one of my best friends in life, Billy Knightley, I grew up with. His name is Bill now, but we call him Billy because that's where we're all kids. Billy Knightley's police. He's a retired police officer in Pennsylvania. Very dangerous job, state police officer. But Billy's a cop, and once a cop, always a cop. Butch Jones is a cop. It's hard to have fun around the cops. No offense to the cops.
Okay, yeah.
And so Butch Jones talks like a cop. He's father of a cop. He looks like a cop. He uses the word individuals. Tony, you know anybody use that word individuals?
Individuals.
I mean, what in the hell?
I mean,
Mark Richt has those kids relaxed playing good football.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. You know, Miami is on the way up. You know,
relax.
They're still undefeated. And I mean, that's all it is. Excuse me. Mark Richt is a player coach. You know, a player coach.
Yes.
You know, Coach Cutcliffe.
Exactly.
He's another player coach.
But here's what people mistake player coach for, and this is where Butch Jones is a fake. They want you to think, because I hop around. No.
No.
Player coaches, at the end of the day, do I know that you have my back?
Bingo.
Do I respect you? Do I know that what you're teaching me is going to help me and give me an edge against my opponent?
Right.
You had Walt Harris back in the day, who's, you to this day say, genius. When you talk about David Cutcliffe, when you hear Peyton Manning would walk that wire for David Cutcliffe.
Yeah.
Why? Because he knows that David Cutcliffe imparted the knowledge to him. When you talk to Butch Jones's players behind the scenes about him, and I have, and I'm not going to out anybody. Tony, when you talk to Butch Jones's players about him, what do they tell you?
No respect.
Thank you.
Nothing.
And that ain't a player's coach.
That's not a player's coach.
No, it's a guy. It's a joke.
You know, this guy, Walt Harris, Coach Cutcliffe, Skippy Brown, those guys type of guys you would like to play for.
I think,
and
before
you know, you have fun. You know, they have fun.
Yeah,
you know, they're serious about the job.
Yeah,
but they're having fun, and you're having fun, and everybody's having fun. And like I said, the last thing they will tell you, man, go out and have some fun.
Let me go back to our phones.
Man, that was Coach Majors. Go out and have some fun.
I want to say this to you. I'm gonna go back to our phones, Chico. I'm talking to Chico now, our quarterback's coach. I've counted your quarterbacks, Chico. Let's count them together. In fact, we'll do it in Espanol. It'll help you follow along. Uno. Or we'll do it in Italian. Una. Una, quarterback. Tony, who was our first quarterback this year?
Dormady.
And did he look well coached to you?
Nope.
No. Quarterback Dose.
Garantano.
Garantano. Did he look well coached to you? Quarterback Trace.
McBride.
We're counting in Espanol and Italiano. Did you know I could do that? Iwad.
I assumed you could.
Are you trying to make ethnic slur on me?
No, I know you're Italian.
All right.
So, uno, dos, tres.
Okay. Uno, dos, Trace. Do we have Quattro over there? Susie Quattro. Do we have quarterback? Does anybody coach? Are any of those guys coached? Do any of those guys look coached to you before I go back to the phones? And I'm not trying to be ugly about it.
Not particularly well.
Okay. I mean, did McBride...
He looked confident, but he also did.
I like him.
Really,
you know,
he didn't look like he knew what he was doing.
No, he didn't know.
No.
But he was confident in doing what he did do.
He looked like a quarterback and just got caught in the headlights. You know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Tony, on one ball...
I loved one thing, though. On one of the plays, he threw that long incompletion over the middle.
He did.
I mean...
Yeah.
And he's like, you know what? I don't see anybody open, so I'm going to chuck the ball 50 yards.
And you know what?
You know what? Here's the truth, and quarterbacks oftentimes hate saying, and you can attest to this, uh-huh. Ball 50, 55 yards down the field, it gets picked off, it's a great punt.
That's great. It's better than a punt. You know.
It's better than a punt.
You don't want to throw an interception.
You don't want to, but...
It's better than a punt, man.
So he's just like, well, you know what? My guy might come down with it. If
nobody
he doesn't,
comes
it's
down
a
with
55
it,
yard punt.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Nobody comes down with it. Hopefully my receiver catches the ball, but if not, then, you know, we're a complete pass. We still punt it or whatever, but interception, just like a punt.
Don't even get me started on our receivers, coach. He's another one.
Oh, man.
You talk about a guy, they couldn't come up. Now, here's the thing that really gets me about the fiscal insanity of sports. That. I'm going to use the term coach loosely. The guy that's over wide receivers is making way more money than he needs to make, okay? And they couldn't find $5,000 extra for Anton Davis. They couldn't give him a cost of living raise, and then we'll go back to the phones. I mean, kidding me?
That is a complete joke.
Damn it.
I am highly pissed off about this. I know a lot of guys... that are pissed off about this thing, about Anton. And, you know, I think there's something's going to have to be done about this, man. You know, Anton is a very big part of the VFL program. He is the VFL program. And I don't know who you're going to get to replace Anton, because he's irreplaceable. You
Thank
can't
you.
Replace Anton Davis, man. And,
thank you.
You know, I love that guy to death.
A man who was instrumental in bringing you back.
Yeah.
Reading some of the stuff that I read, absolutely, I mean... All this other stuff upsets me. That depressed me.
Oh, man. When I was talking to Sterling Hinton last night. Me and Sterling were together with Sterling Pearl. And
Be careful. You don't want to get Sterling in trouble here.
Well, I'm not saying. He was like, T-Rob, it's me, Big Bruh. I don't know, man. I don't know what's going on. But I'm going to leave it at that.
Let's not do that. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome to our next caller on the Garza Law 5th Quarter Fan Reaction.
Hello?
Yeah, hello and welcome in.
Hey, guys. It's Wade from Louisiana. How are y'all?
Hey, man. Welcome. Appreciate you being there, buddy. Thank you.
Hey, wow. I'm sitting there and I'm listening to, Sterling Hinton, and then you talking about Anton Davis and just all the guys that I grew up with. And I mean, Mark Hovanek. Go
great
down
Mark Hovanek. Bow your head.
Eric Swanson, Kelly Ziegler, Dale Carter. I mean, go down the list of all the, just the true volunteers. And for Anton to go through this is a travesty, in my opinion. And I don't even know where to start. I mean, y'all, I've been listening to y'all for a little bit here, and we're kind of, going from here and there. And
I'm sorry about that, man.
No, it's okay. That's the best part about this, because it's all about the volunteers and it's all about football. And you got T-Rob throwing some ideas in there and listening to him. And actually, I came out in the backyard here. I was watching him play Alabama in 1984 and with the orange pants and the orange jerseys back when it was real Tennessee football. And just love watching him play. And I mean, Jimmy Streeter, I mean, just everybody, just all my heroes. And I'm in a funk about where we are in football right now. It seems like everything is fake, you know, and that's just, maybe it's just me. I mean, I'm a football coach. That's what I do for a living. And I am in a funk with this, with the whole deal.
I agree with
that.
And
I need somebody with some soul. I need somebody to look at, you know, go, look, dude, I believe in you. Let's do this. Let's play some football. You know, all this dancing around stuff. It seems like it's so, I don't know. I mean, it's not Tennessee football. I'm sorry.
Can I ask you something as a coach? And I'm not trying to be funny. Who looks coached on our football team? Like, what units look coached to you so far in 27? We're only 10 games into 2017. Or I guess, are we nine games in? Who looks coached?
I feel like our return game on punt and our kickoff.
Always been very good. Been good under Butch Jones the whole time. And that's a point well taken.
Looks good. I feel like the defensive line does well. I feel like the running backs, they hit the holes well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, the wide receivers, I don't know where they're coming from. I mean, it's almost like the quarterback has, I mean, they put him in and it's like we do a little motion. And that's kind of a smoke and mirrors thing, and he's basically got one read, and then off that maybe a, you know, an outlet or something like that, and you know, nothing past that. You know, there's not a whole lot of reading going on. It's like, you know, either here or here, you know, on a zone, on a true zone, the quarterback should be able to second option if the defensive end's crashing. You know, we just give the ball, and you know, I don't know what they're trying to establish.
So you will agree with me that those quarterbacks looked woefully uncoached. Would you agree with that?
Sir.
I mean, it's
yes,
not
sir.
Even a, like that. That somebody has drawn a salary for coaching those guys is just sort of reprehensible, isn't it? Like, I would think you would have some pride at some point and go, "Hey, look, you know, this month, don't pay me. Go give that money to Anton Davis."
Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't you think at some point somebody?
Yes.
I'm not kidding you.
I hear you.
That's
take
soul.
Care of that guy.
You're talking
Canales, you see him on the sidelines. The first thing he does is he does like his little finger, like "come talk to me," and they go sit down.
Right.
And he's got like this clipboard, and he's like, "What is he talking about?"
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
he's
they
not
come out
about
and
what's
they do
going
the
on
same
tonight.
Exact thing.
And they come out.
What are we talking about?
Right. So what are we? So what? Like, I would love. To get VFL films with all these hype videos they made. And by the way, those guys do a nice job. I'm not picking at them. But it all makes you sick when you think about what the fans have been put through. Because I just want something with some substance. The thing about Butch Jones is, there was a saying when I was a kid, maybe when you were a kid too, there's no there there. That's the thing about Butch Jones, Tone.
Yeah.
There's just
there.
No
there
there. There. Yeah. And what I would like to do in this coaching search when it happens is try and find a coach that has some there, there.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's
somebody
all.
Somebody that can relate to these players.
Yes.
You know, the players can relate to this
and
coach.
And who can teach.
And can teach. But the main thing is this, Tony, the coach availability to his players.
Mm.
You got to have a coach that has time, that not just the time to go recruit this kid and tell his parents all this and that, and then when the kid gets here, it's a different ball game.
Does he not?
You know what I'm saying?
Does this guy not make himself available?
Are you listening to what I'm saying? He doesn't make himself available to these kids, you know. So you got the coach has to be available for these kids. If a kid goes to his office and says, "Coach, I need to talk to you. I need, you know." This coach, let me talk to my player. Let me talk to see what my young man wants to talk about. You know, everything else is back, brother. You got this kid away from home, from his family, and you're going to push him to the side? No, you don't do that. You don't do that, you know. See what's the problem. See what's going on. You know, if you, anything you can do to help this kid out, see what's on his mind. You know, but I want to get back to what the caller was saying.
Yeah, go ahead.
He's right. Our offense does not have any variations off of nothing. Plays don't set up other plays. You know, there's one read, and that's, you know, against the zone, you're running around against zone. Okay, but then your route will change if you're going against man-to-man. I don't see this. I mean, no. you got a play call against and you see a blitz coming. You can't run this play against a blitz. Get out of the play. That's what your quarterback is for. To get your quarterback is your coach on the field. So if you can't trust your coach on the field, then who can you trust?
Now, when Tony first got back here to our caller, I'm going to tell you a quick story. One day, and Tony says to me, you know, I'm watching us play offense. Why doesn't Dobbs check in and out of? Like, what's he doing? Dobbs is a real smart guy.
Very
smart. What's he doing? And I said, Tony, they don't let him and Butch Jones's offense check in and out of stuff. Now, here's a guy that was an aerospace engineer. And Tony says to me, I don't believe that. I'm going to go ask him. And Tony, when you asked him, what did he tell you?
And he said, yep, they don't have a checkoff system.
Now, you as a coach out there in Arizona, you tell me what the hell that is. What is that?
You don't have a checkoff system. Then basically what it is you're kind of reverting back to maybe middle school football. And what the coach says is that that's just the way it is. It's my way or the highway. And now you're not allowing these athletes to be athletes.
Yeah.
Now they're just, you know, I mean, sometimes scrappy and crappy is okay. Sometimes a ragged run's okay.
Yep.
You know, you gotta let them do that. And that allows kids to take ownership of their program and their team.
Yeah.
And it gives them pride. But by telling them where to go, what to do, how to, you know, all this other stuff, then they're just pieces of a puzzle.
Right.
I'm back to that David Cutcliffe thing again, guys.
And they're not learning football. They're not learning the offensive game of football.
That's exactly right.
Because as you get older and you progress and you want to go to the next level, you got to be able to read this defense. You got to read defenses, T. And you're not letting these kids read them now.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be lost in the pros, but if they even make it that far, you know, their game. Instead of the game progressing, it's just going to stay. It's going to stay the same or degress, you know. So it's
exactly.
And they're not. And over there in that program, there's no progression there.
And one of the things that has been frustrating to me, is this thing about the system is the only way. My system is the only way.
Gosh.
Because I remember being in a small group setting with Brian Kelly. About 15 people, so it wasn't like a one-on-one, but it was less than 20 people.
Uh-huh.
And he said, the most important thing in my offensive philosophy is whatever works. He said, if I can win a football game running the ball 50 straight times, I'm going to run the ball 50 straight times.
Yeah.
If I have to throw it 50 straight times, I'll throw it 50 straight times or whatever the mix is or whatever the design is. And what makes me crazy is it seems like we're so married to a system that we can't break out of that box.
Yeah.
No, you're absolutely correct. I mean, and that's, you know, and once you do that, then your limitations come immediately. Then you're like, okay, well, we can't do this, this, or this, and all that. And everybody, I mean, people aren't stupid. The opposing coaches will pick that up immediately. You know? And, I mean, it just drives me nuts, man. I mean,
it's such horrible football. I'll be glad when it's over, man. I'll be glad when it's over.
What a coach.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, thank you, brother. Good talking to you.
All right, take care. I appreciate y'all.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Yeah.
865-200-5402.
I like that caller, Tony.
You like that call, Tony?
Oh, yeah, because he's right.
Solid.
It's solid because he knows what he's talking about. He sees the same thing that, you know, a lot of other football players will see.
You know, Tony, I look at this guy and I say, man, people have been sold a bill of goods.
Yeah.
And there are people who are really upset tonight in our fan base that we won. You can feel it.
Yeah.
And it's weird. I mean, it just shouldn't be that way. It just shouldn't be that way.
We won the game, you know. But if you look at it, T, without those two turnovers, what do we do? I mean, what happens then? Without those two turnovers, what happens then? I mean,
it's
something to give you something to think about. We don't get those turnovers in their territory,
right.
You know. Luckily, we were the 10.
No, that's exactly right.
Luckily, we were inside the 10. Glad we were at the 20-yard line both times. You know, both times we got those turnovers with the 20-yard line, and we punched it in.
By the way, we did see on the other side of the field perhaps one of the greatest college football coach meltdowns ever.
When they called that jumping penalty on him?
And he was right.
No, he was totally right.
He was totally,
but,
yeah.
I mean, that's the first time I've ever seen, I think, a coach go run out to midfield. I'm like, I thought it was the water boy, for God's sake, that was running out during a timeout. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's their coach. And just explodes on that.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, of course, it had been a rough night for him, all right? At that point, Tennessee went like 5 minutes or 4 minutes into the fourth quarter without a single penalty called on him.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's Alabama, like, officiating.
Oh, man. I mean, we don't get...
because they never hold.
Well, the bottom line is, the Vols did play a clean football game tonight, though. That's the thing that's really weird about the whole Jones era, is that at times, they've looked pretty well coached, but there's just a disconnect there. The next guy, what they've got to do is they've got to do their homework, and they've got to find somebody that connects with kids. That's important, man.
That's the main thing. You got to be able to connect
Jimbo
with
Fisher
kids.
Connects with kids down there at Florida City.
Connects.
Mark Richt connects with kids.
Mark Richt coached up under Bobby Bowden for a long time. I'm not a big Bobby Bowden fan.
Right.
But, you know, I grew up in Tallahassee, so I've seen it all. I've seen, you know, I watched Florida State play and all this and that. And I tell you what, Bobby has a good rapport with his players back then and still today.
Yeah, he's definitely a gosh-oh-shucks guy.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Gosh darn it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And Mark Richt learned from Bobby Bowden, you know, and they have some great players at Florida State, you know. And now he's in Miami, you know, and he's a Florida guy. He's played against Miami. He's coached against Miami, and now he's the head coach at Miami. So now, and these guys can relate to Mark Richt, Kiffin down here in Florida.
No question,
Kiffin in Florida.
Kiffin's 1 year here.
I mean, this is his first year down there.
Well, here's the deal. Well, his 1 year here, Tone. They loved him.
Now
the ladies loved him.
Yeah,
he loved the players.
They loved him. I know the players loved him. You know,
he took Jonathan Crompton, who was a broken quarterback, and had that kid believing, in himself.
Yeah.
You talk about a guy starting here and ending up here. Crompton, when Kiffin came in, was here, and he was way up here when he got done with him, and you watch that development, and people could say whatever they want to say about him, and I know Tennessee would never go back and hire him,
but
whoever hires him, somebody's going to give him a shot when he eventually learns how to get out of his own way. Somebody's going to give him a shot, and he's going to win, Eric.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
He is.
He's a player
coach.
Because
kids love him.
He's a player coach, you know.
And in the right situation, he's going to be a great hire for somebody.
Somebody.
I mean,
definitely.
You know, he was back in the news this week with his little tweet after covering the spread.
Oh, yeah.
That raised that stink. I mean,
who was he gigging? He was gigging somebody. Who was he gigging?
I think he was gigging. I mean, he was gigging Saban in a way.
He gigged Saban, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
But, he like you said, if he can just get out of his own way.
Yeah.
Personally, I don't think it's a coaching issue.
No, it's a personal behavior issue. 865-200-5402. We're wide open for you if you want to get in with us tonight again. 865-200-5402. 865-200-5402. Here's the thing about tonight's game, Tone, when I look at it, and it's been a long day for all of us, is that Tennessee Nation showed once again how much they love this football team. Okay? how much they value and love this program. I was afraid. I believed their projections of 50,000. Internally, that's what Tennessee thought was going to be there. How do I know that? Well, I have a copy of a correspondence that was sent out to all the concessionaires, and those that keep concession stands,
right,
and they said plan for 50,000.
Right.
And tonight, way more than that showed up, and that is that's a tremendous tribute, and against the backdrop of the whole empty kneeling thing, which, you know,
yeah,
it's hard to keep people away from something they love.
They love. That's right. Definitely.
You can call people sheep all you want. You can make fun of people all you want. It's hard to keep somebody away from something they love doing. It just is.
You know, in baseball,
especially on a nice
for years and years and years, I used to mock Cubs fans. Why do you keep showing up to see the worst team in baseball?
Yep.
With an ownership group that takes you for total granted,
yep,
doesn't put money in the team, but is plenty glad to take all of your money.
Your money, yep. Yeah. But
and
they still go.
And they still go.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to draw a total parallel here, but
yep,
I'm worried that we'll get in a situation where Tennessee fans are getting that kind of treatment.
Yeah.
We're glad to take your money, but we really don't want to take your advice.
Yep.
And
yeah.
So,
well, I mean,
but I was proud as heck to see.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just seeing those people, that many people in there tonight.
That was incredible.
Yeah, when things aren't going well. Now, it helped it was homecoming, so, you know, students were motivated
to
go.
They were planning on 50,000 people.
And they were helped. That must be the most beautiful
50,
Saturday night 000. In November I've ever spent in Knoxville.
And let me tell you something. And it was a beautiful night. Let me tell you something. The Haslams have tried to kill Tennessee football. They can't do it. Butch Jones has tried to murder Tennessee football. He can't do it. Because here's the spirit. Here's the power of Tennessee football. It was in that stadium tonight.
Right.
It's an indomitable spirit. And it won't be killed.
No,
I get the empty kneeling thing. Again, I get it. I understand it. I get it. I've got that anti-establishment bent myself. But I can't quit on those kids. I just can't. And I'm not saying that's what you guys are doing. I'm not saying that. I'm not. And I get it. But there was a good 70,000 to 75,000 people in there. And that is incredible to me because Tennessee's own administration thought they were getting 50,000 people
right
in there.
Yeah.
And that is a huge takeaway for me. And that is something that, okay, guys on my Twitter feed, Guy Jones and the other guy, you guys arguing, if you guys don't cut your shit out, I'm blocking both of you dumbasses. Do you hear me? Deplorable Butch. And Guy Jones, do you guys hear me? I'm gonna give you 10 seconds to get to hear me, and I'm blocking both your dumbasses. Now, the passion of this place, Tony, it's unmatched.
It is unmatched. You can't match it here. Nowhere in the world, Tony, can match the fans, our fans here at UT. Nobody. You can say boycott the games or whatever.
Right.
No way. There's no way, man.
I mean, John Curry did everything in his power tonight to initiate a boycott. He did everything to poke his finger in the face of people, and they still came.
Oh, yeah.
You can't run these people off.
But you know, Tony, when I came to the gate, I come to the tailgate, the fish tailgate, and it was about 3-4 o'clock.
Right.
3:30, somewhere at that time. And I tell you, as I was walking through the campus,
yeah,
I couldn't believe I know a lot of tailgates be in certain places,
right?
And they weren't there.
They weren't there.
They weren't there at all,
right?
And I'm like, man, it's going to be a short crowd here tonight.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
But then all of a sudden, man, it just boom! It just blew up. It all just blew up, man.
Let's go
you
back
know,
to
one thing
phones.
Though that is held. Oh, okay.
Yeah, let me get
yeah,
some
go
calls
ahead,
in.
Go ahead.
Hello, welcome in Garza Law Fifth Quarter Fan Reaction.
Hello?
Yeah, welcome in.
This is John in Kingsport.
Hey, John in Kingsport. Welcome in, man.
Yeah, I just wanted to call in and say thanks for all you do, listening to us.
Thank you, my man.
Diehard Vol fans. And I wanted to say what an honor it is to get to talk to the great Tony Robinson.
Well, thank you, sir, and it's my honor.
I'm a longtime Vol fan, and I saw every home game that you played in, and they were all just great.
Thank you, sir. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Okay. And I am going to get around to the game tonight, but I wanted to say I listened to the podcast of the Tony Robinson years. And,
wow.
I wanted to add something to that. That was really entertaining, brought back a lot of memories. But Tony's first game against Washington State, the quarterback for Washington State was Mark Rippon.
Mark Rippon.
I don't know if you all remember that or not.
First guy, yeah. Mark Rippon.
Yeah.
Played for the Redskins, won a Super Bowl.
Right. Yeah. And we all know who the best quarterback in the stadium that night was.
Okay. All right.
But anyhow, as far as tonight's game, I will say this. I thought I saw a little improvement, and one thing was we were backed up in our close to our own goal line tonight, and we actually went under center, and I thought that was a smart move.
Yeah, I'll take progress anywhere I can get it, right? Last week we went under center on the goal line a couple times. Of course, we are in year, what number is it now for Jonesy? 5.
Yeah. Right. Well, I just want to say that I had my suspicions about Jones in his first year. The very first game that they played, I think it was Austin Peay, and I made the observation that they didn't have a power running game. They couldn't get that 1 yard when you have third and one or fourth and one. You've got to have somebody that can, and a line that can open up a hole and get that 1 yard. And that has cost him dearly in his 5 years there.
And I'll give him credit because he never learned from it. And that takes a special guy. But I'll give Eric Waddell a lot of credit, who's across from me. When Jones first got the job, he said, this guy will drive you nuts because he will not learn from his mistakes. And I mean to tell you, Eric, Eric knows it because he's a Cincinnati football fan and a Tennessee graduate. He grew up in Cincinnati. His grandfather played what there? Basketball.
Oh. And swam.
And he swam. So... Butch Jones has never learned.
No.
Yeah.
And he will not learn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
And one other thing I thought I would throw out there is I understand, you know, why it's very unlikely, just basically impossible, that Lane Kiffin would ever come back to UT. But here's what gets me is, wait and see if he doesn't end up back in the SEC and we have to play that guy at least occasionally, and he'll beat us like a drum.
I wonder who should hire Lane Kiffin, and I appreciate your call. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, sir.
All right.
Proving that God has a sense of humor, Ole Miss with those pretty girls down there.
Actually, what I was thinking is if Jeremy Foley was still in Florida, those two together would be just scary evil.
You know,
he's not there.
You think he's a good coach, Don? You think he's a good coach?
Oh, that
Lane Kiffin.
Lane, yeah.
Do you respect him?
Yeah, I like Lane's a good. He's a good play caller, man. I love the way he runs an offense. I love the way he runs his offense.
Yep.
And like I say, his quarterback. When he was at Alabama, you know, mm-hmm. not your typical quarterback.
No, he's not.
You know what I'm saying? He's not. But Lane Kiffin knew how to, you know, he knew his talents.
Yep.
He knew his talents, and he didn't. And this kid's a great talent, but he's not the best passer. He's a great runner.
Yeah,
great runner. But Lane Kiffin used him as best of his ability.
I asked,
and he got all that he could get out of it.
You know, Tone, I asked a poll question earlier this week when we had Lane on, and that a guy could leave us after 1 year, okay, go to USC, left the program in ruins, led us into a dark decade, okay?
Led us to Butch Jones.
Led us to Derek Dooley, who led us to Butch Jones.
Well, I mean...
And what all they had to do, if they had a do-over, and I'm not even sure that these guys had a do-over, if they're bright enough to do this, but all the HOH had to do was do what they originally were going to do, and that's give Kippy Brown the interim job for a year.
Man.
Let him babysit it. Take your time.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't work out, you go find somebody, and then you and that and then you and but you take
your time.
Your time.
Don't rush to hire somebody, man. And then you
let's
hire,
have a shotgun.
Then you hire
marriage.
A dud.
Yeah,
know?
Let's
you hire
have
somebody. Yeah.
Let's have a shotgun marriage. Here's the deal: the Kiffin thing. That's so funny. 60% of the people that I polled said they would take him back. Now there are a good 38, 9%, whatever, that would never have him back, that hate him. Mm. But there are a bunch of people that have moved on, which tells you, first of all, how much respect people have for him in terms of his ability and just how desperate we're becoming.
Yeah.
And it looks like we're losing this fight.
You know what?
Tony? I ain't missing you at all.
I like what you just said. Let's not rush.
No, let's keep.
Let's not rush into this thing.
Let's keep it.
You know what?
For another year. Let's keep it for another year.
No,
look, that's one thing. After talking to a lot of people tonight, I spent a lot more time talking to people.
If you suggest that, I'm going to come across a damn counter on you and choke your ass out. Don't suggest that to me.
They're trying to rehab this guy.
Oh, I know they are.
Or at least there's a trying to rehab.
They
this
are.
Guy.
The House
they're trying
of
to somehow get him to 6-6 so they can keep him.
See, I'm telling you this right now. Here's what people think. Here is what people think. There's a faction of people out there who are listening to me who think that we already have John Gruden hired. And I told the guy today this. I said, "Well, there's a small problem with that. What is that?" Well, the small problem is that we have a football coach. Huh. No, he's fired. I said, really? He's fired. Now, I think he's going to get fired. Eric, based on the people you talked to tonight, is he fired?
He doesn't sound fired to me.
I agree with that.
I think that there is at least a strong contingent
these people
that is trying to rehab this guy.
These people are crazy ass.
And I don't know if it's because of the buyout. I don't know if it's because they actually believe.
They're crazy ass. That's why.
But there is a legitimate section of people that are trying to rehab
and
him.
It's the House of Haslam. I mean, let's just call it what it is. Let's get our next call in. Garzalaw, fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello and welcome in. I'm Tony Basilio. He's Tony Robinson. Eric Waddell's across the board. Hello and welcome in.
This me?
Yeah, it's you. Go right ahead.
All right. 340 million for a new expansion, whatever they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
They already got the Tuckers in, so
mm-hmm.
they've got their money.
Mm-hmm.
There is a possibility. That was good, so they could get the money in to do whatever they're going to do with him. I would like to go back to what you guys were saying just a few minutes ago, and I love the show.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to the fifth quarter all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to talk to T-Rob about him saying that the coach thing to be able to go in, sit down, talk to him. Were you able to do that when you were playing here?
Of course. As long as I've been playing football, high school, college, and pros, you know, your coach has got to be available. You got to be available to your players. You got to, man. It's just it's relevant. It's, if you can't communicate with your players, you can't set time aside to talk to your players, then why are you here? You're supposed to be their father away from home, you know, their family or whatever you want to call it. But you got to do this, man. You got to do this. You can't go recruit a kid and can't talk to this kid one-on-one when he needs to talk to you. If he has a problem or something like that, you know, you can't do that. You can't do that. And then this kid calls home. Today, these kids will call home and tell their parents. And all of a sudden, now you got a big storm on your hands. So, the answer to your question is yes. You know, I could go to Coach Major's office and, hey, Coach, I need to talk to you about something.
Yeah.
And he would, you know, he would put everything down and say, come in, close the door. What's on your mind? You know, any of the coaches, Coach Harris, Coach Cutcliffe, any of the coaches, even defensive coaches, you know, they all said, you know, if you need to talk to somebody, talk to one of the coaches. They had time for you.
You know what's a really good example to our caller of what Tone's talking about is the way that Brett Kendrick deal blew up this week. All Butch Jones has to do is press conferences, come out and acknowledge that kid got hurt Saturday. That's all his family wanted. And when he didn't do that, they freaking snapped on him. They snapped. And there's just a disconnect there with this guy. The next coach they find better be more of a people person than this guy is, because this guy played a people person. And I'm not saying he's a bad guy. He's a really nice, family-oriented guy. But there's just something missing. That's why I used that cop deal earlier. And I hate to say that, but that's kind of where I'm at. Continue with your call. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine, Tony. I mean, I don't know if I've heard you say this before, and we don't have to be the damn, little house on the prairie. Let's just be honest. That's bottom line. Let's just be honest. And I don't understand why, and I've had people speak about, here I am cursing, I've had players speak at my church, and they can't go in there and talk to them because they feel like they're going to be penalized or they're getting influenced one way. Here, you need to do this. You need to do that. Let's just be honest. Let's just take care of the problem.
So you've heard what Tony's saying. So you think what Tony's saying has validity about Jones? Because that's kind of news to me, guys. I got to admit that.
It's 100% honest. I mean,
wow.
If we're going to turn this program around the way it was, players have got to be able to talk to the coach. The coach has got to be 100% upfront and. That's bottom line. I mean, that was the way I was raised and the way you guys were raised. You know, if there's a problem or if there's something going on, we have got to get to the bottom of it.
This next coach, they better do some research on him. Because here's the thing about Nick Saban. Nick Saban's kind of an interpersonal nightmare with his guys. He just is. But the thing he does is he stacks one five-star on top of another because he's such a habitual recruiter. And so you can run a program like that if you've got one five-star on top of another. When you have a lack of talent like we do here, you better come with something better than what Butch Jones has. That'll never work, man. It's a miracle they're still playing for it.
Well, I think these guys are playing for more or less for themselves.
Okay.
I would say that.
I'll grant you that.
You know, but I want to say this.
Go ahead.
I met with this coach last night.
Okay.
He coaches his team, LaGrange. They play Maryville College today. Okay. Now, Earl was, he played for the Georgia Bulldogs. Now he coaches, the college team at LaGrange. Now his wife, she's a great baker. She baked me some cupcakes, man. And I went to go get those last night, But anyway, talking to Earl, and we were talking about the coaching situation at UT.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, T-Rob, who y'all going to hire next? And I'm like, I just threw my hands up. And we just got to talking, and he was like, well, when I heard they hired Butch Jones, he was like, what are they doing? What are they doing in Tennessee? Who, Butch Jones? And he said he actually met Butch Jones, and tried to talk to her. And he said the guy was so arrogant that he was like, I said, what? He said, yeah, he's real arrogant, man. And he just left it on. He just walked away. So he just walked away from him, man. He said, was he the one, you know, just his demeanor about himself, you know, just the way he carried himself. And I'm like, wow, that is just, that's unbelievable. But I heard that from a lot of other people also.
How in the hell did we get,
because he was just as, he was like, man, how did they hire Butch Jones?
Where
said,
in the hell did they find
him? Where did they get him from? I said, Butch Jones, he knows Butch Jones. He knows him, he's coached against him.
Right.
And he was like, why would they go hire Butch Jones? Said, man, Butch Jones is not an SEC a coach.
Eric told me that when we hired him. He's and I said, man.
And, you know, I was like, hey, well.
And I understand, because I'm sure you thought, oh, he's bitter, they're taking Cincinnati's coach. There were a lot of people at Cincinnati who, there was not a tear that fell. Now, in fairness, there were some people that liked him. I'm not saying everybody, but.
No, of course.
You know, but right. There was a lot of folks who were like, don't let the door hit you in the ass.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
To our caller, anything else for us tonight?
Yeah,
thank you,
sir. Well, guys, I'm not as much as I'd like to rant and rave about all that and Butch Jones. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, we all know. But it's got to get back to Tennessee football to where I know it's a business. With all the people that donate money and this, that, and the other. But it's got to get back to the days of T-Rob. It's got to get back to where coaches care about their players. They talk to them. Their doors open. If there's an issue, we take care of it. All this crap that's, you know, it's got to get back to the way it was.
Hey, and thank you, my man. It's going to get back. Thank you, brother. Or we won't win the East till we're all deceased, as Bino said. Let's get our next call in. Garza Law, fifth quarter fan reaction, as we're now inside the 1 o'clock hour. To our next caller, hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony. Greg down in Columbia, Tennessee. How you
hey,
doing?
Greg in Columbia. Welcome in, my man.
I'm a little late getting in, but
better late than never, as Butch Jones likes to say.
Finally got a win. I just wanted to ask Tony Robb something about Will McBride. Now, I've seen Dorminey play. We've all seen him play. We've all seen Darren Tunnell play. And the few times we saw McBride tonight, there was just his demeanor, just something about him that he looked like he belonged out there. You know what I mean?
Same thing I said. Same thing I said. You know, I liked his demeanor. I liked the way he carried himself out there. You know, his presence, you know, it speaks for itself. And, you know, I said, with a little bit more experience, a little bit more playing time, I think, and some good coaching, I think this kid's going to be a pretty good quarterback. You know, he looks like a quarterback. He looks like a quarterback out there. And,
he looks better than the two guys that were in front of him.
Nothing against Garantano. No offense to those guys, but McBride just looks the part. I like the way he commanded things. You know, his command out there. He's got that quarterback strut, as I say. He's got that strut.
Well, Albert Haynesworth tweeted the same thing, and I tweeted him back, and I said that to him. I said, I don't know what it is, but it just looks like he belongs out there mm-hmm. for the Tennessee Vols. Nothing against the other two guys.
Right, right.
The name of the game, of the game that our coach doesn't practice is to develop the guys and look on the practice field at the best guys.
You're damn straight.
That's right.
In the game. And he's not doing that.
No.
And the damn administration needs to realize when you got a guy who says a few weeks ago he's not changing a thing, he's a hard-headed blop, 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 and you can't deal with somebody like that in any job you work for.
You know, the bottom line is that what's weird about that kid is he was 1-for-8 tonight. That shows you how bad our other quarterbacks were. No, I'm not, and I'm not trying to be ugly about it, but Garantano's played several games now.
Right.
And he's had the helm, like he's had an opportunity. He's,
and he hasn't taken control.
I told my wife that tonight, I'm like, look at this guy's body language. Even when they were scoring on the first drive, Eric, he just doesn't look like it's his football team.
No. But McBride didn't have any success.
But it looks like it's his football team.
Right.
It's really strange.
It is. It is strange.
That makes no sense.
Because you know, you sort of forget about it now, but Garantano was actually 9-13 tonight.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he didn't.
No, I know. And I know what your yeah but is, and your yeah but is right.
Yeah.
But
you got to drive the team.
It's kind of like Neil O'Donnell. He used to complete 75% of his passes, which made him on paper look great on paper.
Right. But when you see him, you know, and like I say, Garantano, no offense to him, but it doesn't look like his team.
Right.
McBride looks like he just commanded, this is my team, you know.
It's really strange.
It is strange. It is very strange, man. And I want to see what's going to happen next. I want to see what happens next week. I got to see this next week. It's going to be very interesting.
It is going to be interesting because here's what's going to happen. Whoever starts that game is not going to finish it because Missouri right now, guys, they're playing in a different gear. They're playing a different game than we
are. I don't know what happened to them, but they're clearly
a
different team.
They woke up and they're smelling the coffee. I mean, it's literally like a switch has been flipped on them. I'm telling you, they're playing physical football
on both sides of the line of scrimmage. And I'll give Florida credit because they quit. That's how you. If you're going to quit, that's how you quit.
That's how you quit.
You walk into your office and you quit.
You know what that's called about Missouri?
What's that?
Coaching.
Maybe. Yeah.
Might be the case there.
That's the only thing it can be. I mean, you got coaching. Coaching makes the team.
Yeah.
I 100% believe that.
Yeah.
The coach ain't worth a damn, and he ain't changed things.
Yeah.
Keeps the same old thing going day in and day out.
Yeah.
He's not going to be successful. I mean, it's just pathetic. But anyway, hey, good to hear you guys on the air again. Like I said, I was a little bit late getting in, but I checked on you to see if you were still there and decided to call
you. Can you believe it, man? Can you believe we went over 3 hours after that? That game tonight, whatever that was. Thank you, brother.
Hey, have a good evening or a good morning.
Yeah, you too. Tony, if we ever get to the point where this thing gets back, and we will, you know how much fun it's going to be to do this show?
Oh, it's going to be a lot of fun.
I mean, do you know
what I mean? I enjoy doing it now.
I mean, you imagine, though, if we were having Georgia's season and we were 9-0,
man,
and people were calling in, and they were singing and swinging from the light posts.
Oh man, this would be!
And how much fun we're going to have?
We will be having so much fun. We will be toasting everything.
Toast to this, toast to that.
That's part of the reason I'm here. is because I can remember.
Yeah,
I can remember being on the field at the SEC championship game.
Yep.
And Phil Fulmer running around almost like Valvano after they won the national championship, looking for someone to hug. Phil Fulmer hugged me on a football field.
There you go.
Because of the joy.
Yeah.
I showed the thing. They flashed that graphic we were laughing about. Fulmer, when they fired him, he was 152-52.
Yeah.
He was 100 games over 500. Over 500, they fired him. Think about how stupid that is, looking back on that. After what we've been through.
100 games over 500, and you still... I mean, that's...
You know what that means? At one time here, we had expectations.
So we got to
get... Fulmer walks around
got to get back to that.
Wait a second. They fired me, and I was 100 over 500. 100. They brought this dumbass back for his fifth year. And he is a dumbass. No offense to him.
You know, the funny thing is, though, I have a hunch. I can't prove this. I haven't asked him. But I would say because of what he went through, though, at the very end of essentially being asked the question before the season ended, he might be someone who's enough. We're not going to get rid of him until this thing ends.
Fulmer.
Because of what happened to him and how he had to...
It doesn't matter. He doesn't have a say.
No, I'm just saying that I would imagine, because he's been through the experience of trying to drag a team with him that all knows he's a lame duck. And I'm wondering,
look,
if
none of it's good. Like, if you look at what happened in...
Yeah, there's no upside. I mean, good Lord, look at what happened to Florida. They popped their coach, and, I mean, they look like death minus warmed over.
But the thing that's different about Florida versus this deal, and it makes sense that Florida would unplug, because Florida's kids respected that guy.
Yeah.
And they played hard for him.
Mm-hmm.
But they got this guy. Now, they got struck last week by a better team.
Yeah.
Because they don't have any offense. But that McElwain guy had a way of making those kids at Florida believe. This guy here is a total loser, and the players don't like him. I think the kids here would play better if you got this guy out of here. I think they would have a better chance of winning their last four games, counting tonight. Hey, look, I got to go. Tone, give me a final thought. Eric, give me a final thought. We're getting out of here.
Because
I'm exhausted.
Great victory tonight.
It was a great victory, Tom.
Great victory tonight.
I'll throw a number back.
Great victory for the fish pantry and everything, you know. Tone, going into next week.
Yes, sir.
We're going to have to play some better ball next week on the road. Cold weather. Quarterback situation still up in the air right now.
Yep.
Defense, great job on the turnovers offense. Great job turning those turnovers into points. Beast Mode is back. Hopefully, my man Callaway, the injury is not too severe that he misses this game. You know, because he's a big part of offense where we can get him in the offense. You know, get him involved.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it was a great night.
Yeah.
Homecoming night. If you're still out there having a good time, continue to have a good time.
Yeah,
and,
celebrate. Savor every one of them. And here's the thing. If we're lucky, we're going to walk off the field our next 3-2-1. That's a best-case scenario. This team has not gone 3-0. USC just scored to go back at them front. They went right down the field and scored. You know, at the end of the day, you only have right now. You got your buddies in town tonight.
Yeah.
Got a few guys. I want to encourage you to go out and savor the time with them, Tone. Who all's here right now? Give me some names.
Oh, man. Oh, Theotis Burton.
Bow your head.
The great Theotis. Theo McPeel. Lenny Taylor. A couple other guys are in town here tonight. My man Chopper.
Chopper's here.
I can't remember everybody's in town, but there's a lot of them in town tonight.
They really appreciate it because a bunch of them are listening.
Well, so
and they want to thank Tony for the shout-out. He forgot every one of you damn people that are
here.
Sure
did. All y'all that I miss, you know, I love all you guys.
Eric, it means a lot to you, right? It means a lot to Tony that they're here. He's just, he can't even remember half their names.
Well, he said all
Ron
y'all.
Ward. All everybody.
You know what? And all y'all includes all y'all.
Is Von DeWard at the... at the party tonight?
Vaughn Reeves was here.
Vaughn Reeves.
I seen Vaughn.
How about Vaughn DeWard?
Vaughn Reeves. Oh. Gosh, man. Kendrick Jones and his family.
I love Kendrick Jones.
Here. Oh, yeah.
Great
man.
Player.
Get Kendrick
out of
Jones.
Memphis.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, all the guys are here, man. So, you know, going
hey,
to see
hey, tell Kendrick hello for me.
I will. I'll do that. I will do that. Matter of fact, I'll give him a call.
Get some phone numbers of these sheep.
I got
you some. You got some phone numbers?
Yeah, I have phone numbers, yeah.
Good.
Yeah, I got them. Like I said, great win for the Vols and everything. So let's continue this winning pattern. Let's keep it going.
Eric, give me a final thought.
My thought kind of connects like this. Very proud of the Tennessee fans tonight, and we kind of talked about it earlier. You know what got those guys, you know, our fans to keep coming out despite the estimates. I mean, yes, there was help. It was a beautiful night. But one thing that I think a lot of our fans have been able to stick with this team is despite all of the problems, and there's a myriad of problems, they can sense that the kids, and that's what they are, they're big, giant kids, all right, young adults. That these young men haven't given up. Despite everything that's gone wrong, they feel like they're still fighting.
And that's the way Tennesseans are. If the guy in the bunker next to you is fighting his guts out, even if he's not any good at it, folks from Tennessee will be the first ones to jump in with him and back him up to the hilt. And I was so proud of Tennessee fans for reading into something that maybe I didn't even personally read into myself. And it really kind of finally dawned on me tonight. Tennessee fans are sticking with this, first because of their love of Tennessee, but secondly because they've seen these kids, despite all their troubles and despite all their struggles, they haven't quit. And so Tennessee hasn't quit on the Volunteers.
A.E., thank you. Great having you, the great Eric Waddell. For Jerry Colquitt in his absence, Superstar Alex in his absence, for Nathaniel Rutherford over at RTI Rocky Top Insider in his absence, I want to thank everybody that makes this possible. I want to thank everybody that came out to that tailgate today. I bet I met over 150 people today that came up to me and said, hey, I listen from here, or I'm out here now, or I just found you, or I've been listening to you for 20 years, and you remember you've been, and smartphones is a great thing, and I'm living away. And a bunch of people came on campus today for homecoming. Tennessee football is such an amazing thing that Lane Kiffin couldn't destroy it. Derek Dooley couldn't destroy it. Dave Hart couldn't destroy it. The Haslams can't destroy it. This goofball we have right now, this goofball Yankee, can't destroy it. They just can't. And it's bigger than all of us. And that's what's beautiful about it. It's just... And it's going to get back. And we're going to have a watch party next week for the Missouri game up at Bearden Hill Fieldhouse. And it's going to be fun. We're going to get together with each other. We're going to sweat out next week's game. Who knows? Maybe McBride gets a week of practice. We don't know what's going to happen with Garantano. We're 1-0. It is a one-game season. It is an elimination playoff. I mean, I don't believe that, but go Eagles, beat the Broncos. Who do the Bengalis have this weekend, E?
That would be Brian Hartman's Jacksonville Jaguars down on the St. John's River.
Do you know who the Steelers play this weekend?
No, I don't know who we play this weekend.
Yeah.
Ah, what's the idea, man?
You're sweating it, aren't you, Ton?
Nope,
who do the Steelers play? Do you know? I think they might.
I know those Redskins beat them Cowboys Sunday night. I can tell you that much.
Are you That's guys, that, where's the movement on that from the 20 for 20? Are you guys getting your rings?
I don't know yet. Well,
how's that going?
I haven't heard anything lately, so I have to make a few phone calls on with that. Oh. There's a guy, Samoa up there. He's a big historian of the Redskins.
Yeah,
so
the Pro Samoa.
So he's looking into that for me. I have to give him a call to see what's going on.
Made the score a touchdown.
I scored another touchdown.
USC just scored twice.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I was watching football today.
Yeah.
And guess who name pops up on the screen?
Whose name?
Mike DeBoer.
Whoa.
At Indiana. Well, that's where he should have been these last few years, in Indiana somewhere. Not just.
Oh,
but you know, Rob, my boy Depot.
They still got the butts full.
Let's not get up.
Their quarterback, but I tell you what, though. He's playing well. Quarterback was playing well.
I'm not getting into that. I'm
just saying, though, it was just a surprise to see Mike DeBoer.
Hey, coordinator. Once you get away from Butch Jones, the stink get off you.
Oh, yeah.
Love and God bless.
God bless.
Thank you, Marcos Garza. Garza Law Firm. Thank you.